about. You gotta put it in perspective.
All right, let's begin again.
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
B.I.G.
One big concern about these controversial costumes, a study by the American Psychological Association that shows the early objectification of girls can be linked to depression, low self-esteem, and eating disorders. You know what I'm talking about.
I'm not sure I do.
But the same study also shows parents can be the best positive and protective role models. I was just so taken aback by some of the pictures I saw there. You tell me what that word is and see if that rolls off your tongue at 11 o'clock at night.
That's one good reason you got to read this stuff before you do it. I'm telling you, that's what you got to do.
Huh? I don't really know him, but he just seems like a dick to me.
We also need to be affectionate, and you can see that with Barack and Michelle as well. They do a lot of touching, kissing, even fisting.
And now,
what the hell is going on here?
Our feature presentation.
How do you get to that point in your life? And think, and not know that that word is loaded up with all kinds of bad meanings.
Well, you don't work here.
Or good
that
meaning.
Would be number one.
Yeah.
And you don't listen to us, that'd be number two.
I guess.
How do you know she wasn't using the word the way we think she was using the word?
Well, that's a good question,
it's just,
too.
Just a guess, but I don't think, what was it, CNN or someplace? Where was it?
I don't remember. I think it was one of the morning network news shows is what I think.
Yeah.
I think you assume that is not what she meant because they don't do that in public a lot. I'm thinking.
Yeah, she wouldn't know. That's true.
That'd be awesome if they did.
Yeah, that's
all right.
True.
She meant fist bump, right?
That's yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All
right.
That very intimate activity of the fist bump.
That's awesome.
That shows true love.
Good morning, everybody. It is the Kevin and Bean Show. It's 5:32, and it would be Tuesday the 9th of Poon.
Hey, look, I can fit my entire fist in here.
Oh, wow.
Oh my God.
How about that?
Timely.
1-800-520-1067 is the toll-free number. That's the number where you pick up the phone, dial it, get on the air, get a prize. Great prize today. By the way, we haven't mentioned this yet, but I do think it's worth I love the big lottery winners. I always love to see the story of the people who win. And Lisa, have you seen your next husband? Have you seen this kid on the
news yet? No, tell me all about him.
He is a 23-year-old cowboy, basically, who lives in South Dakota. He's 23, young, quiet, God-fearing, super nice young man.
Sounds good to me.
$232 million Powerball jackpot winner.
By himself?
Sounds better to me.
Yeah, just him. Yeah, yeah, just him.
Quiet, you say?
Yeah.
Perfect.
Yeah, just a super, like, one of those, like, stoic, kind of quiet, like, just hardworking, you know, guys that just never causes any trouble. Everybody says he's the nicest guy in the world. Comes from a good family. 23 years old. And $232 million Powerball.
Yeah. His life's going to go to hell, right?
That's exactly what I was wondering. I was wondering if, let's make a note of this young man and then check back in 10 years and see if he's in jail or dead.
Yeah. Or some girl sued him for every dime.
Yeah. Yeah. It makes you more of whatever you are. I know it would destroy me.
Yeah.
I know that. I know that would be bad.
He bought his ticket at the feed store. He was down there buying feed for his livestock, picked up his ticket, used a combination of his family's birthdays to pick it.
Wow.
Occasional
he's
player.
Got everything.
Yeah. Goes to church, works in the community.
Well, anyway, he might be all right, I guess.
Drug problem now.
Since
after
he won,
a day.
Yeah. Since he won. Yeah.
Oh, yes, Heath Ledger. Oh, yes, it's like a big sausage. Oh, yes. That's right, Jake Gyllenhaal. It is. It's a spicy sausage. How do you like that? Oh, yes.
No indication that he's a Brokeback Cowboy. Nothing like that.
All
but anyway,
right.
Winner, South Dakota is the name of the town he lives in, too, by the way.
Winner, W-I-N-N-E-R?
Yes, Winner, South Dakota is where he's from.
So. Wow.
Lisa, I'm just suggesting that maybe it might be time to start pulling out the low-cut stuff and, and taking a vacation.
I think I'm buying a ticket today.
And seeing if his grandfather is still alive. All right.
He had to do it.
Time for your phone calls.
Well,
because she sometimes dates older guys.
It's happened.
Time for your phone calls. 1-800-520-1067.
We're sorry. You must first dial a 0 or a 1.
What it do, nephew?
What it do?
What it do, nephew?
What it do is a pair of tickets to the Vans Warped Tour, June 26th at the Fairplex in Pomona. Tickets available now through Ticketmaster.com. This includes your Bad Religion, your Ataris, Less Than Jake, Thrice, NoFX, more. All of that just for being on the air on Kevin and Bean's What It Do Nephew for Tuesday morning.
All right, let's start with Joshua. Hi, Joshua.
Hey, what's going on, Kevin and Bean?
What's going on? What it do?
Well, the thing is, I just thought I'd let you guys know that there's a movie coming out called The Goods. Not really a lot of people know about this. I saw it in those free screenings at the Block at Orange.
Right.
And it was like one of the funniest movies I've ever seen. I just watched Hangover, and it was actually funnier than Hangover. And I think
that's not possible.
Oh.
Because Hangover may be the funniest movie ever. But second of all, I saw a poster of that outside of the Hangover, and it's Jeremy Piven. I saw that, and I was like, oh, I didn't even know that existed.
What's it called again?
The Goods or something like that.
Yeah, it's about a guy who's a car salesman, and he has like a little team of car salesmen that travel from dealer to dealer to try to save the dealers. And I don't want to give too much away, but it's one of the funniest things I've ever seen.
Awesome.
Well, we got room for two funny movies this summer.
That's great.
I've seen the trailer for that. It does look funny, yeah.
Awesome.
All right. Good call, Joshua. Thank you. Let's go to John. Hey, John.
Hey, what's happening, you guys?
What'd it do?
Hello.
Hey, I just want to talk about Bret Michaels getting bopped on the Tony Awards. Prop came down and just smashed him on top of the head, and they really haven't been saying much, but I guess he got a broken nose and a busted lip, and maybe his cowboy hat and wig fell off. I don't know.
Has there been a funnier video that you've seen in forever?
It was funny. I mean, it was sad but funny, you know, but it's a trip because they've been kind of hush-hush about it, so I don't know. What do you guys think?
Well, I think they're hush-hush about it because they don't want to advertise that something this bad went, you know, this big went terribly wrong.
Because it could have been so much worse, right?
But if you go to the front page of Kevin and Bean at krock.com, you can see this video. And he's singing, and then he turns around to walk back, and the thing comes down and hits him in the head. And it's not like he just falls over forward. It takes his feet out from underneath him in the front, and he falls backwards.
Yeah.
Just a demolition.
It was.
It was really. You look at it and you go, "Wow! I didn't picture it being that funny."
And wow,
like
why couldn't we?
A
clothesline, exactly. I needed a better close up.
Yeah, me too.
Too far away, and then they cut away really fast.
Me too.
They didn't close up at all, you know.
No,
I don't know.
Yeah, that was the best.
Yeah, I was interested in that too because I mean, it's not like they cut away because he hit himself. It was the very last second of his performance on screen, and they were cutting to another part of the stage for another award. But I would have loved to have seen what happened. I mean, did he fall to the ground and the thing continued to come down and just pin him down there? And
they had to,
I mean, think about it. That thing was coming all the way down, right?
Yeah.
And he's still there right now, and the jaws of life are out, and they're trying to get him.
No, but I just wondered what happened after that. I would have loved to have seen what happened.
Yeah, that is awesome.
I heard someone saying yesterday, you don't want to break your nose if you're Bret Michaels because you have to use your sense of smell so much when you're auditioning contestants for The Rock of Love. So that's really going to cut into his dating.
And let's go to Andrew. Good morning, Andrew.
Good morning. What it do, nephew? What it do, baby boo?
What it do?
What's going on?
So I went to this, you know, all the Chick Sporting Goods converted to Dick Sporting Goods?
Yep.
And
hilariously, yes.
Yeah. And they had Clipper Girls. I don't know what the cheerleaders, what they call them. They had Clipper Girls signing autographs. And, I mean, the store was packed, and not one person wanted a Clipper Girl autograph.
Oh that hurts.
I mean, and they weren't ugly. They were just, you know, when people would walk by like they were at the zoo, just kind of staring at them and move right along.
Really?
Well, an autograph isn't really what you're looking for from Lakers girls or Clipper girls, right?
No, but you would also also think that there are enough guys in there that find them attractive, you know, whatever, that you don't just walk. You can't talk them up. Right.
There was these parents that were trying to coax their little boy to go, and he's crying like, no, I don't want to.
I don't want to.
Yeah, it was best.
You can't really take it out on them that they're cheerleaders for such a bad team.
No,
you know,
you're right.
But Lisa's right. If they'd been Laker girls, I can't imagine too many people would want autographs. Because what do you do with a piece of paper that some chick from a dance squad signs?
It was
like
the girls that couldn't make the cheer team. They, had to be on the dance squad. It
Wow.
Anything to do with them.
Wow.
It's rough.
All right. Thank you for the call.
Yeah.
Bye now. Clipper girls. Imagine. It's probably they're probably the most popular thing at those games.
Yeah, I would imagine.
They are hot. The Clipper girls are way hot.
Right. Let somebody call a timeout. Come on, we got to get them back out on the floor. All right, let's talk about today's Kevin and Bean show, shall we?
Okay.
Speaking of the Clippers, the professional team is having their finals right now, the professional league, and that's of course Lakers in Orlando, and they've got another game tonight, so we've got a preview for that.
Okay.
We are going to talk about Bob Dylan being a black belt in karate, which is
really,
which is maybe the strangest story I've ever heard.
I had not heard that he was a black belt. For reals?
Probably not. No, I'm exaggerating a little bit.
Okay.
Michael Irvin is going to be on the show today.
Yeah.
What?
Michael?
Psycho Mike, is that good news for you?
Nah. I don't know. I mean, what? Look, as a Cowboy fan, he's a great Cowboy, but Michael Irvin's, he's pretty out there. I mean, let's
yeah,
get the pat down and the crack pipe.
He's
and
the best. He got caught with a crack pipe, and he said, "Oh, it was a friend. I was just trying to help him, and so I patted him down, and I found it, and I threw it in my car." It was unbelievable that he tried that.
It was a great.
He's
story.
Had his troubles off the field, that's for sure, but he sure delivered when he was playing.
But this this TV show, Fourth and Long, is it's a reality show for guys trying to make the Dallas Cowboys. Not all of them even are football players. Some of them are, you know, track stars or whatever.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah, it looked pretty interesting.
I wonder how that works. I mean, are they saying that you can't just show up at Cowboys training camp and try to get on?
Right.
Does Michael Irvin have some sort of a deal where the winner of his competition is guaranteed an opportunity to audition?
I think so, yeah, because one of the assistant coaches is also on the show. So I think it is part of the team thing. So, yeah, you do get a shot, but...
Not a lot of guys walk in off the street and make a professional football team.
Nope.
That is not usually how it works.
Most of the guys are just coming out of college or whatever, and they, for whatever reason, you know, didn't think they had a shot the regular way, so they're doing it this way. And also, we are going to tell you about our new breakfast. We just did breakfast with Green Day yesterday. Today at 7:15, we're going to make the announcement of our next breakfast. Nice. And today we'll start giving away tickets to that as well. How about that?
Look at us.
So we'll do that a little bit later on this morning. We'll take a quick break and come back with Ralph Showbiz Beat next.
Ralph, I am in no way trying to get you to lose money on the wager that you made with the listener, but I have to ask, wasn't it at Philadelphia where Michael Irvin's career ended with a spinal injury and the fans cheered it?
Veterans Stadium, as we say in Philadelphia. He wasn't rough. Seriously hurt.
Wasn't it a spinal injury?
Is that what everybody says?
They had to drag him off the field, but whatever, you know? Yeah, it was standing O. Standing O when he went down there at the vet.
Oh, God. Wow. That's rough.
That doesn't seem good.
Look, it's not personal. You know, right, if they were cheering against Michael Irvin, the man, or for his injury, whatever, you have to understand what he did to us for how many years and that how much anger and hatred and bitterness had been accumulated against that man for year after year after year.
He just causes trouble with the guys and in between the relationships and everything? Is that his deal?
Or just that the Cowboys won three Super Bowls.
The Cowboys were just, at the time, crushing the Eagles season after season. It was the triplets. It was, who's the guy in the backfield?
Emmitt Smith
and Troy Aikman and Irvin were just brutal, if you remember, in that era. And it was just so devastating season after season to lose to these guys. So it was more of a release, I think, than it was anything else when we saw him go down. Look, it wasn't a classy move, don't get me wrong. But
since when has Philadelphia ever been accused of that?
You know, it's a sports
thanks
town.
Thanks to throwing snowballs at Superman, you don't even have to worry about it being the worst thing that ever happened at that
point. Santa Claus.
It was Santa Claus.
It wasn't Superman.
Or whatever. Whatever it was.
Even
and
worse
it was
than Superman.
Batteries / snowballs.
No, the batteries wrapped in ice, that was a whole other story.
All right. Anyway, Michael Irvin, next hour on the Kevin and Bean Show. It's 5:53. Ralph Garvin joins us for our first look at the Showbiz Beat for a new day.
I'm going to find Jerry Jones, his next criminal. That's what he's saying. That's
the goal.
Fourth and long, yeah. Listen, maybe Travis Barker and Shannon Moakley shouldn't be together. That's all I'm saying. I mean, I'm not one to cast judgment on other people's relationships.
Right.
But if you're going to make it public and you're going to walk us through the sordid details of your helter-skelter relationship, then perhaps you're best left just going separate ways.
Yeah, what happened?
Travis tweeted...
They used to Facebook.
This week?
Sure. Now it's Tweet Fight.
Yeah, and by the way, if you're doing this, if you're the Facebook tweeting couple that puts your dirty laundry out there and you're forcing everyone to read it, then when S goes downhill, don't tell me, oh, please respect our privacy and we're going through a difficult time right now. Screw you!
I agree.
Because you made me part of this now. You made me part of your relationship. So now I'm in. In for a penny, in for a pound. Well, Travis has a problem with Shannon now.
Uh-oh.
You know, they were off again, on again, off again. Then they were on again. Oh, we're in love. We're back together. Life is magical. Well, according to Travis's most recent tweet, he writes, "Kids are not to be used as weapons. Deadbeat moms that sleep all day seeking money and attention like to do so. Just hurts the kids in the end." And then he went on with another tweet rampage about how giving birth doesn't make you a good mom and blah, 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 blah.
Mm.
So things not going well.
Hmm.
That's all I'm saying.
Yeah, that's not going to go over big. Pretty sure.
You mean his tweets with her?
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. She'll come back on MySpace or Facebook or UTwit or whatever those things are. But, it's just, what compels someone, even if you're going through that, what compels you to tweet that?
I don't know.
I don't know what I hate more, tweeting innocuous, inane BS stuff, like Dave the King of Mexico, or tweeting actual real things that matter in your life.
That
it sort of makes them
insignificant,
doesn't it? Doesn't it reduce them to sort of to electronic tabloid fodder if you do that?
Yeah. Yeah, especially if it's one of these stories that's just like it's a dirty story and it's got a lot of details that nobody really wants to know.
No, I want
to
know.
Keep that to yourself. Okay.
I want to know, but I shouldn't know.
Lindsay Lohan is tweeting about the fact that she and Samantha Ronson are back together again.
Oh, what is happening?
No way.
Apparently, her plan to travel to England to catch up with Samantha, she was working over there, worked out because they arrived together in the United States yesterday after a week-long jaunt in England. And she tweeted yesterday as she was leaving London that she was with her favorite travel buddy and have great news to share. Maybe.
What?
Is she 12?
Yes.
Yes.
Sounds like she's writing in a diary. Dear diary, I have great news to share. Maybe. More later. TTFN. TTFU. Megan Fox. Having a bit of an argument with her mom.
I am siding with Megan.
You don't even know the story yet, Kevin.
I do not know.
Apparently, her mom is concerned that Megan is ruining her looks by getting more and more tattoos. She has a total of 8, and she has informed her mother that she wants to get her right arm sleeved.
Oh, really?
That's stupid.
Oh, stupid tattoos. Oh. I don't even like
pretty
them.
Word for that.
No, not even sexy or nothing. Apparently, mom fears more than just her covering up, which is that should not be covered,
right,
which is her body, that no one will hire her at 40 because it'll be too hard to cover up the ink when she has to do work and stuff. It takes a lot of body makeup if you're sleeved to cover that up if you're playing different roles. And so she's concerned more for her career than even she is for her looks. So apparently the two of them are at odds.
Hmm.
Now who do you side with, Kevin?
Megan.
Oh, come on, man.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. I would do everything to her. I would wreck that chick.
Would you really want to see her sleeved? I don't think I'd like to see her sleeved.
I'd rather not, but it doesn't bother me that much.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Wouldn't it make it hard for her to work, don't you think, though?
Maybe.
She could play like a lawyer or something.
She's already got a lot of bad tattoos.
I know, but those mostly can be covered pretty easily now.
Yeah, I don't know if you can cover up a whole arm.
Well, you can.
Can you?
With clothing and makeup. But do we want her in more clothing?
It's the last thing we want her to be doing.
That's what I'm saying. She, you know, she can't play like a DA or something walking in sleeved.
Your Honor. My client is guilty.
I'm guessing she's not heading for the DA roles anyway.
That's what they said about Angelina Jolie, man. Mm-hmm. When she came on the scene, she was just a sex kitten. Next thing you know, I want my son back! Oscar nominated, baby. Nice. That's all I'm telling you. Thank you. Speaking of TV and performances and roles, did you see Nurse Jackie last night?
Yes.
I saw about half of it.
On the Showtime. It's a 22-minute show, Kevin. Yeah. How'd you see half of it?
Had stuff to do.
Just watch the whole thing.
Very busy.
Not it's that amazing. Busy. How do you watch half a half an hour show?
Very busy.
I only had time for 15 minutes of Nurse Jackie last night.
That was really good, though, from what
Why
I saw.
Why did you watch the whole thing?
I'm going to. I've taped it. Take it easy, dude.
Oh. Watch a half an hour show.
Kevin's amazing.
You're ridiculous.
I have things.
You don't.
A very important life.
You have life light.
I had to Twitter about how good the first half of Nurse Jackie was.
Anyway, it was remarkable. For a pilot, this thing's just going to blow up. It's just going to take off.
It looks
just
great.
Amazing cast. Just insanely good writing. I can't wait. It's very exciting stuff. It's on Showtime on Tuesday nights in case you missed it.
Monday nights.
Did you watch the Weeds?
Weeds as well.
I have not watched Weeds yet. I taped that. Didn't watch part of it. Just taped the whole thing, set it aside. I'm going to watch the whole thing later.
I watched half of that
in
too.
One sitting.
Look, that was great.
Kevin only watches half of
the part
TV
I saw was
so.
Great.
I know that there's a lot of, there always has been a lot of talk about how the world is speeding up and people have shorter and shorter attention spans, but I think Kevin is leading that movement. I mean, Kevin, can you even listen to a whole song on the radio anymore? Or do you have to bail out after like 90 seconds because you've heard it?
I have a very short attention span, if that's what you're saying. Yes.
So it seems to be getting shorter.
Yeah, it does.
What are we doing next?
And sure, you guys have your fun. Have a good time laughing at Brett Michaels getting elka-bonged by a piece of scenery at the Tony Awards.
That was one of the funniest things I've ever
Fine,
seen.
Fine, you enjoy that.
All right.
Hope you feel good about yourself.
Okay.
Because Brett got a fractured nose and a busted lip out of the deal. How do you like that? Clotheslined by a piece of scenery, broke his nose, and opened up his lip that needed stitches. Does that make you feel good about yourself now?
I don't, it doesn't diminish my enjoyment at all, I'll tell you that.
You also had to have a CAT scan done.
Yeah.
Because he screwed up his neck a few years ago, and they were afraid it might have re-damaged
his
neck.
Yeah.
Spinal.
But apparently he's healing up, and they're going to hit the road with Def Leppard and Cheap Trick later this month, so he plans to be on tour, but... You know, take a moment to feel bad for the guy.
You haven't seen that video. You have to. So funny.
He sure did get clotheslined by that scenery, though.
Not funny. The best part about it is he's so excited turning around. Like, he's so like, I'm a rock
star. Big reaction from the crowd.
Wham.
Top of the world. Boom.
Less excited, a little more look where the F you're going. That's all I got to say. Because he's got his cowboy hat pulled down over his eyes, too. That must have been quite a surprise when he ran into that.
Out of nowhere.
It's one of those things you probably feel before you see. You don't even see it. You just feel it.
He didn't know what the hell happened
what
to him.
What was that?
He's like running back to the drum set and just, Elkabong!
It's like a fly going into a screen.
Exactly.
It thinks it's got an open window. It's just right. Ready for action.
Robin hitting a plate glass window. Today's celebrity birthdays... Let's give a moment of thanks and appreciation for one of the great legends in modern music, Mr. Les Paul, man who invented the effing electric guitar. How about him?
All right.
How do you like him
still being alive, by the way?
94 years old today.
It's pretty strong.
It is pretty strong.
Still plays, too.
Actor Michael J. Fox is 48 years old today. Aaron Sorkin turns 48. Of course, a talented writer of many of our favorite shows and movies. Johnny Depp turns 46. Ed Simmons of the Chemical Brothers is 39, and actress Natalie Portman.
Oh,
yes.
Celebrates her 28th birthday today. She's just 28 years old. Seems like she's been famous forever.
Yeah. She's the best.
She sure is. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
You know, it's National Ice Cream Week in the UK right now.
Really? Why do I care?
It's National Ice Cream Week, Lisa.
And not even here.
No.
It actually may be the National Ice Cream Week here, too. I
yes.
don't know. But I do know that they're celebrating in the UK, and Del Monte Superfruit Smoothies has sculpted a limited edition popsicle, and they went to the public and they said, who would you like to see on a popsicle? Who would you like to see us make an image of that you can then put in your mouth and lick?
Keely Hazel, I hope, was the answer.
I would hope so as well. But unfortunately for us, it's Daniel Craig. James Bond is who ended up being the selection. So he
Daniel
now,
Craig.
I could see that.
Well, the chicks dig him, and you can imagine in Britain especially, he's an even bigger star. So we heard about that. We thought, well, that's an interesting choice that Daniel Craig is now on a stick, basically. But I wonder what the original James Bond has to say about it. So we thought we'd catch up with our old friend Sean Connery on the phone and see what his thoughts are. Good morning, Sean.
Well, good morning, Heidi and Spencer. How are you?
Sorry, they treated
you so poorly in Costa Rica.
That wasn't us, actually, Sean. It's your old friends Kevin and Bean. How are you today?
I'm not too pleased.
Why?
About the story with
the
icicle?
You guys were talking about with Daniel
Craig.
Craig, I'm sorry.
Yeah.
I often get that confused because he's
okay, he does it, first of all. But second of all, you know, Mr. Connery, you've been down on Daniel Craig for a long time, but he is the new 007. I mean, you have to accept sometimes that he's James Bond and you're not anymore and haven't been for decades.
He's more like 005, uncut. I'm more like 007.
Well, they asked 1,000 different women, and most of them picked him. And doesn't say how many picked you, but I'm going to guess not very many.
And why would that be, you think, Kevin?
Well, you're a little older than him, a little more out of shape.
That just means I'm more experienced, that's all.
Okay, all right.
And I don't really give a what 1,000 British women have picked, who they want to on.
Okay. Okay.
First of all, because most of British women are ugly.
Okay, that could be true, yeah.
Their teeth are all going which way, so when they your they might as well just rip it off with a bike chain.
Oh, that sounds awful.
It is very painful.
It sounds like you have some experience there.
And it's funny that they have Daniel Craig popsicles, because he's been sucking on things longer than a baby.
I don't think he's considered gay, is he?
Well, not by straight men, no.
Okay.
But homosexual men can't get enough of him. And okay. Vice versa, okay. May I add.
Right, but what it sounds like is you just sound like a bitter old man who's jealous because he is a pinup right now. He's hot and people think he's good looking.
Well, I'm not jealous because actually I'm opening my own line of frozen confections.
Oh, I didn't realize that.
So people who really want a frozen treat won't have to settle for Daniel Craig. They can have the real thing and have Sean Connery.
Okay, all right.
So I'm using your show as a platform to launch my new line of ice cream treats.
Okay.
And you can choose from several different types. I've got Seansicles.
Seansicles?
Yes.
Okay.
Which are a delicious frozen popsicle you can suck on all day long because it's huge.
Right.
In fact, it probably won't fit in your freezer.
Okay.
Because it is shaped like my...
Oh, sure. Wow.
It's a... a stick.
Oh, dear.
Is what it is.
Right.
And so you might want to get one of those giant walk-in freezers to store the Seansicles.
Okay. All right.
Or the Connery cones.
The Connery cones.
Connery cones.
Coneries, we call them.
Coneries, okay.
And they're also shaped like my...
Right.
Only the is a delicious cakey-type flaky cone.
Wow.
Filled with delicious ice cream.
Wow.
That tastes like...
Is. Wow.
Oh, wow.
I think we got that. I think we understood that.
And the Bond bonbons.
Right.
The Bond bonbons are frozen of ice cream that are a little hairy. So you may want to eat them carefully.
That doesn't sound attractive or tasty at all.
And we're still working on that one. That's in research and development.
Is there any way to shave those ice cream?
Well, what are you doing tonight, big fella?
You've heard of shaved ice. Apparently, that's what you need here.
Ah! Ba-dum-bum! Aren't you the funny f***?
I would like to take that back, actually, Mr. Connery.
We all would.
Hey, guy with short attention span, did you hear all the Kings of Leon song or just like the first minute?
Really just about 45 seconds in the middle of it.
That was all you needed.
Yeah.
All right. It's the Kevin and Bean Show. A little less than an hour away from announcing our next Kevin and Bean Breakfast. You know, we've been doing these for years and years and years. And it's been, how long has it been since we've done the last one? I don't even remember the last time we got into a room with one of our big bands and actually let the listeners ask the questions and watch them play it. It's been years, I think.
It was yesterday. That was yesterday.
What? But we got another one that we're going to announce for you next hour right here on the Kevin and Bean Show. Right now, though, how about the Afro line? Answering machine set up just for you at 323-520-AFRO. You call on any topic, leave a message, and we play it back on the radio.
That's what I want to do to you guys if you pick Kings of Leon one more time.
Oh. It doesn't sound like he needs any more.
turns out just did that.
God, I think you guys waited long enough. I need to know, who's playing Acoustic Christmas?
Yeah, we are minutes away from that announcement.
Well, we can't tell you everything, but we can confirm for you that the Crazy Astronaut Diaper Ladies are opening.
Wow.
Oh, we got them, huh?
We got them. And Blood Mustache is also playing someplace in the middle of the night. But well, that's all we can tell you so far.
My wife came up with the bright idea of renting Paul Blart Mall Cop. Oh, my God. Kevin James, I hope you f***ing die for making that stupid movie. F***ing die!
Maybe the biggest movie of the year, biggest comedy of the year so far, I would imagine.
If I'm going to tell you right now, if The Hangover does not destroy that, I will move out of America.
There's no possibility that The Hangover will ever approach the box office of Paul Blart.
Murder.
Hey, I'm wondering, what the hell is Ralph doing on the new show Wipeout? What the hell, Ralph? You got enough to do? Manure.
See, because he looks just like John Henson.
Yes,
oh, that's what he's talking about. Okay.
Yes.
Manure.
Yes.
Kevin, seriously, that gray and turquoise shirt with stripes some places on the side and top that you're wearing in every other picture on the website, please get rid of it. It's awful.
I don't put a lot of
effort into the clothing.
Most of his shirts look kind of just like that, so it doesn't really matter.
So maybe they're all just different each time, but they look the same?
Pretty much. Just,
here's what I'd like to suggest. Don't go to the website so often. That's all. Make it a lot easier. You know how we're fascinated with stories where people find Jesus in their toast?
Mm-hmm.
You know, and in the toilet, and the tree bark, and in a shadow on a window, and all that kind of stuff. Because just guessing here, but I'm guessing it's not actually Jesus.
Hey, guys. You know how everyone talks about, you know, things just coming out looking like Jesus and everything else? I just took a and it looks like me.
Oh, all right.
Wow.
Okay, that's different.
Manure.
Remember when we were having the discussion about if you see a bird that's injured, do you pick it up and nurse it back to health?
Mm-hmm.
Or get the shovel out of your garage?
Mm-hmm.
Fish out your cars!
That's the sound effect for the shovel.
There was a story in the news yesterday, Kevin, about the actor Terrence Howard, who basically closed down, I think it was Wilshire Boulevard, a couple of days ago, because there was an injured bird in the road. And he went out and stopped traffic and helped the bird get out of traffic.
He's a good man.
Terrence Howard from The Hustle and Flow.
I would have gone around him and puppy lake for the bird.
You would have hit him and the bird if you could get your car by them.
I don't think there's a bird lake, is there? No, you just got to go puppy lake. Okay.
Yeah. He shoots these scores! This bit is getting really played out!
I think you're the only one still doing it, sir.
Says the guy who falls with it, and then we play.
Oh my God, I can't believe you guys are not excited for the remake of Short Circuit. I love Johnny Five. Los Locos kick your ass. Los Locos kick your face. Los Locos kick your butt into outer space. Yeah! Woo!
All right, they've sold their first ticket for the Short Circuit remake, it sounds like.
So remember Mike was talking about how the robot had sex with the girl in the bathtub or something like that?
Yes.
He had it all wrong, right?
Yeah.
Psycho Mike is exactly right about that scene being in Short Circuit. It's right before the scene where Johnny Five says, "What are you going to do, spoon me to death?"
Oh, that's where it is. Okay. All right.
Hi, Lisa. I'm just calling to tell you that I think that you are awesome and that I would like to put my awesome sauce on top of you.
Yeah.
Really?
That's how much he enjoys you.
He sounded a little like Dimitri, by the way.
Yeah,
in the beginning. That creeped me out.
Let the romance begin.
Yes.
And finally.
Yeah, I told him it was Bangkok, not Hancock.
Oh, oops. Is that too early?
The official delivery is too soon. Not too,
too
early.
Soon, right.
But the answer
is about right.
The answer to both questions is yeah.
Hello, dear. I'm Michael Irvin, and I'm not on the Kevin and Bean show right now.
He apparently was not aware that we were doing an interview.
But
with
why?
Him.
Why are we so excited about talking to him and he doesn't care about talking to us? What's that about?
Oh, that's as things should be.
That's pretty obvious. Yeah. Well, hopefully we'll get Mr. Irvin out of bed or wherever he is, get him off of whatever hooker's involved and talk about Fourth and Long on Spike coming up later on the Kevin and Bean Show. First, though, I was just chatting with our old friend Scott Mason, who, as you know, is the king of all things engineering here at the radio station.
Now, when you say chatting with, most of us would think having a conversation with in person. But you mean chatting. You mean IMing.
Yeah. Scott and I are IM buddies, you know. And he brought up that this Friday is the digital television conversion day. And thank God it's finally here, by the way, because we stopped mocking it a year ago after it had already been on the air for a year that it was going to be happening, right? And we kept saying, who are all these people that are out there who at this point are going to be surprised when they can't get their local channels because they don't have the right TV on Friday?
But this was supposed to happen in February or something, wasn't it? And then they bumped
They bumped it to June because apparently a lot of people didn't have the converter box and weren't ready. So the question we always ask is, who are these people? Scott Mason is on the phone right now, and he is convinced that there are many, many listeners to our show, Kevin and Bean listeners, who are going to wake up on Friday, and all of a sudden they're not going to have, you know, Good Morning America because they didn't do what they need to be doing. Scott, welcome back to the Kevin and Bean Show. How are you, my friend?
Hey, good morning.
I'd just like to say, first of all, I am very happy to not be part of your instant message conversation with Bean.
Well, me too.
I'm glad not to be a part of that.
But Scott, seriously, even after a year and a half or whatever it's been of being told, hey, it's coming up, here's the date, pounding it into your heads every 10 minutes on every show, on every channel, always, there are still people out there who are going to be without TV on Friday?
You know, I was in an appointment at Cedars like a week ago, and they had what they called a soft test where they, in the middle of the news, they said, okay, now watch the TV, and if you see this picture, then you're good to go. If you don't, then you're not ready. And you know, I was watching, you know, one of the networks there, and definitely not ready in the entire place, and that's a large facility.
Here's the thing about that, though. They've gone way out of their way. They've played commercials, like Bean says, 5 billion times. They were giving out all taxpayer money. They would give you $40 or whatever it was so you could get the conversion box. Look, if they don't have the message now,
oh well,
they're not going to get it, and they're not going to know until it goes away. Let's just make sure we do it Friday so this can all be behind us, yeah, and let them be without it, and then they'll figure it out.
The crazy thing is that they're even going to have what they call some nightlight TV stations on the air. So even after the conversion, there's going to be a couple that are going to be still left on saying, oh, if you can't see us, here's why, because you didn't convert.
Oh, man.
Scott, refresh my memory because it's been so long. Why are they making this change? Is this supposed to result in a better picture for most of us?
Well, it's absolutely going to result in a better picture over the air. I've had an antenna like on my roof for a long time, and when they went to digital, just like, you know, digital radio, you can get like 3 or 4 channels for every main channel, but TV is so much better because, like, the educational stations for channel 58, channel 28, all those stations, all of a sudden there's 28.1.2.3.4, and there's all these extra TV stations that you can watch, or you could be like, you know, what CBS did and not put these extra stations on and take advantage of the entire bandwidth and have a super high quality, high definition picture.
I don't even know what that is.
Scott Mason, by the way, is a guy who works in the communications industry who is still rocking the antenna at home. No cable, well, no satellite, right, Scott?
The picture off the networks is so much better over the air and digital than it is with either cable or satellite, because they don't have to compress the video to fit all those 150, 200 other channels down the pipe.
Right, and how are all the sports channels?
Huh?
Oh, yeah. How about that?
So it's a trade-off. You decide you're going to go with cable or satellite to get a lot more channels at a slightly less quality than if you were just doing the over-the-air.
Well, the smartest person does the hybrid. They have their antenna and they get their network channels over the air and all those extra channels, and they have their cable or satellite to get all their sports channels and extra channels.
Scott, tell me that this is going to happen on Friday. It's going to be over. It is for sure. They're not going to have something in the middle of the night where they go, oh, no, people might not. I mean, it really, let's just move on.
It is. I think the people who are going to be most surprised are the people who forgot about the TV they have in the kitchen, in the kids' room, their second,
right,
third, and fourth TV in the house, where they didn't want to pay the cable company to have that extra.
Right, but if they haven't gotten the message by now, the only way they're going to get
them, right,
the message, I mean, let's just turn it off right this second. Really, let's just move on.
They didn't pay attention, obviously. The other thing that people have to know is if you did get your box and everything, after the 12th, you have to what they call rescan the box because all the TV channels are changing stations.
I don't even know what that is.
What do you mean by rescan the box?
It's going to be weird because Channel 4 won't really be broadcasting on Channel 4 anymore. They'll be broadcasting on like a UHF channel.
What?
And then your box is going to convert it to Channel 4. Yeah, Channel 4 will not really be on Channel 4 anymore.
Excellent.
What was that?
Okay, so what should somebody do then if they think they're all set and they've got the box? What should they do between now and Friday or on Friday?
On Friday in the afternoon, late afternoon, they should rescan their box. It's easy. Anyone who's got one of these boxes knows you go into like the options setup and then just hit rescan, and it looks at the entire TV spectrum and says, okay, this channel belongs here, this channel belongs here, and this channel belongs here.
If you're waiting for me to ask you what you're talking about, plan on falling over dead before I do.
I don't even know. I'm just making it up.
All right. Let me ask you two more things, Scott Mason. One is it too late for people to go out and get the converter box and have this thing in effect?
Absolutely not.
Okay, so they are available now. People can't go out and get it.
Absolutely. Just, I don't know if you can still get that $40 off from the government or not, but by now you just better, if you want to watch TV after Friday and you only have an antenna, you better go out today and get one.
The devil are you talking about?
That was at Best Buy and they had them stacked up.
Okay, last question then. Haven't there been times in all the years that you've just been antenna only where you thought, oh, I don't know, I'd like to watch a football game on ESPN. Oh, I don't know, I'd like to watch the MTV Video Music Awards. Oh, I don't know, I'd like to watch CNN Headline News. What do you do without all those channels?
The internet. You know, I mean, I watch like TV 3 hours at night, maybe from 8 to 11:30, and then I'm fine with the network stuff.
Sorry, I'm asleep. What?
I don't like paying for it. I'm cheap, man.
Well, he is cheap. Yeah. That's true. But, all right, Scott. So basically, at this point, we're willing to say that if you're not set up, it's your bad at this point.
Absolutely.
Okay. Good.
Pretty
time.
Much you're an idiot if you haven't figured it out by now.
Exactly. Thanks for coming on, Scott.
Okay.
Bye now.
Love songs on the coast.
I'm Ted Zeglerides.
The Wave. It's the world famous K-Rock 106.7 KROQ at 6:49.
You're listening to the Kevin and Bean Show. We'll make you forget you ever heard that song by playing some Rise Against, also Silver Sun Pickups and Weezer on the way. Hey, apparently Michael Irvin has rescheduled for next hour, by the way. So
cool.
We are going to be talking about his little cowboy show. All right, 6:50. Ralph is here with the Showbiz Beat for a Tuesday morning. What's going on?
Well, let's talk about the woman for which the murder button was invented, shall we?
Okay. Okay.
You know, I hate the Twitter.
Mm-hmm.
And I think there should be a button that I can press so someone who is Twittering on the other end will be murdered.
Murder.
Well, I've decided that this is the woman for which it was invented.
That's just a sound effect, unfortunately.
I know. We're still working on the actual technology.
Okay.
Tila Tequila, back in the news.
Excellent.
Hey. Remember last week I talked about the fact that she did a Twitter announcement stating that she was pregnant?
Yes.
She said, and the father's an A-list star.
A-plus.
He better step up, or I'm going to go to the press with him, and I'm pregnant, and I'm only going to write this once, and here's my tweet about me being pregnant.
Right.
Yeah. Well, now on her MySpace page, she says she's clearing the air about the pregnancy rumors.
Listen.
They're not rumors if you've gone on Twitter and said I'm pregnant. This isn't something that popped up as a blind item in a tabloid. You said you were pregnant. The point is, maybe I was pregnant or maybe I wasn't. But I am not currently pregnant. She writes on her MySpace
page. Is
that
her way of saying perhaps it didn't work out? Or is she just took care of it?
Or she never was.
Or she never was. Then she adds, don't be mad because I outsmarted you, haters.
What?
Well, what game are we playing? How did I not know I was in some battle of the wits with Tila Tequila?
I outsmarted you.
I didn't know we were playing a chess game about whether you were pregnant or not. I just felt the need to clear up the rumors for all of my fans because I care about you and I want you to know the truth. You're not clearing up rumors if you started the rumors.
Okay. What is happening?
That's murder button.
Murder.
Lately, the rumors have been piling up, and I just felt the need to clear up the rumors for all my fans. I am not currently pregnant, so there you go. Let's move on now. Next! You brought it up!
How about not next? How about let's just write her off?
This is a woman who's too whorish for MTV to keep her on the reality show. Remember, she did the Shot of Love with Tila Tequila.
Right.
Then they had to can her ass because she was so horrible after two seasons and do Shot of Love. Let's make it a double shot.
Oh, with the twins.
With the Icky twins.
That's right.
Well,
that's
I suggest MTV brings her back. For Shot of Love, let's make it a lethal injection. And there's like 20 guys vying for the right to be able to push the plunger on the IV that she's hooked up to that just gives her the long sleep.
I'm not sure she deserves a death sentence.
I'm saying.
That's what the murder button's all about, Kevin.
I'm saying murder button.
Murder.
Son of a bitch.
Come on, can't be serious. She's an Oriental, for Christ's sake.
Thank God she's addressing all those rumors that we started about her being pregnant or not.
Right.
After she said, I'm pregnant. I know it's hard to believe, but this David Carradine thing is getting even weirder and even creepier.
What else could
there be?
Well, look. We started with his body found in a Bangkok hotel room, hanging in the closet. Yes. Potentially engaged in some sexual behavior that led to his own death.
Yeah.
Okay? Now, there's all kinds of conflicting stories coming out of the Thai coroner's office that the family doesn't trust the results of the autopsy. They want an American to get the body and claim it and to do another autopsy. The photos of him hanging in the closet have appeared in Bangkok tabloids. Someone took it at the crime scene.
Wow, that's rough.
Well, now we find out that there may be confirmation regarding his sexual proclivities coming from a divorce settlement. Court documents have appeared. You can see them at smokinggun.com. From his fourth wife.
Fourth?
Yes.
Wow.
Who said in their divorce documents that David did engage in sexual behaviors that she said in the divorce documents could be potentially lethal, potentially deadly to himself.
Freaky deekies need love, too.
Yeah. Like what? Does she specify?
She doesn't specify. Okay. Potentially deadly sex acts she accuses of practicing in during their divorce settlement. And incest.
What?
What?
Yeah. In the court record, she says David Carradine and an unnamed relative were engaged in an admittedly taboo relationship. She said her pleas for him to get counseling in regards to this matter were ignored, and he wanted no part in the healing process the other person needed in order to get closure. So we're not sure whether this is a person of age or not of age or regardless, but it's just it's just creepier and
You're
creepier.
Dead to me.
Well, actually, he is, Kevin.
He's dead to everybody.
Not sure if that might have been the drop you wanted to play.
Right.
I'm just saying. Guy actually did pass away.
No.
It was just a troubling sexual history for David Carradine, if you believe his ex-wife. Sad news.
A lot of, I just like to say in his behalf, and I don't know any of the people involved, but a lot of people bring up stuff during a divorce that's
absolutely
ugly and not necessarily true.
Absolutely. But they did contact this woman. Her name is Marina Anderson, was his fourth wife, and she told ABC News over the weekend, I stand by what I said regarding their marriage, so take it for what it's worth, as you mentioned. The good news is Heidi and Spencer are off of I'm a Celebrity, Get Me Out of Here for Good
today.
Murder.
No, this is the real deal.
Rape.
No.
This is completely over,
all right.
And they are actually gone.
Right, until tomorrow.
No, really.
Right, I know.
No, but seriously.
No, I know.
No, this is it.
But
this is it.
I know.
But this is
but
it.
But when you say this is it.
They are actually winging their way back to the United States as we speak.
Sure. Sure
we're letting him back in.
Heidi was hospitalized for a gastric ulcer. I threw up at least 10, 15 times last night, she said on the TV show before she went to the hospital. Spencer added, if Heidi is sick, then I'm sick because we are of one flesh.
Wow.
By the way, let's get Secretary of State Clinton to somehow revoke their passport so they can't get back to the United States.
I agree with Lisa.
That'd be awesome.
Let's take a vote in the United States as to whether to allow them back in.
Their tribe got to vote whether they come back or not. How about our tribe?
Yeah.
That'd be awesome.
Lou Diamond Phillips said on the show last night that they will not be coming back to camp. They're no longer part of the competition. They are gone.
Right. Until tonight.
Yeah. Spencer said,
when they say the devil made him do it,
we gave it our all in the competition.
Wow.
But now it's about health. At the end of the day, though, we went back in and proved it wasn't about us. This was a life-changing experience.
Who is it about?
I have no idea. This is after he threatened Janice Dickinson, who made fun of how Heidi sang, calling her a drowned cat.
We've all made fun of how Heidi sang. Anyone who's heard her has made fun of her.
Spencer warned her that he'll spence out on her if she picks on his wife any longer.
Now he's naming it after himself?
Yeah. The good news is Holly Montag, Heidi's sister, will be joining the cast on Wednesday for you folks
that
who are still watching.
That is great news.
So you got that going for you.
Oh, wait, I don't care.
What do you think of this story? Candy Spelling refused to go to her granddaughter's first birthday party, Stella's birthday party.
This Tori's mom?
This is Tori Spelling's mom. Stella is Tori's daughter. Candy Spelling was invited and had RSVP'd for the first birthday party. But passed at the last minute when she found out that the Oxygen Network was there filming the entire party for the reality show that Tori's doing with her husband. Apparently, Grandma doesn't think it's appropriate for a kid's birthday party to be the set, if you will, for a television show.
And Has she not watched her daughter's reality show? I mean, that's her whole life. That's what they do.
That may be, but apparently Grandma didn't want to participate. Didn't want to condone it by showing up and being part of the show. Is that a good decision or a bad decision?
I don't know. I'd say good.
That family's so horked.
I don't know.
It doesn't matter. They're so messed up, all of them.
I think it's a shame to miss your granddaughter's first birthday party.
Right, but if that's not really what it is.
But if it's a TV show and not really a party, then maybe you're right to say, you know what, this is kind of a farce.
That's clearly not for the kid.
Maybe I shan't. Anyway, apparently now big troubles between Tori and her mom over this.
Again,
yeah. This is the John and Kating of the world, this kind of stuff. You know?
It
happens more often than you think. But
Anyone see the John and Kate episode last night with Emeril Lagasse cooking in the kitchen with him?
No.
Come on. Really?
That was the show. Is Emeril came to cook dinner for the family, yeah.
Why do you watch that show?
I used to love that show, but no.
But get
now
me out of
ridiculous.
Here.
Ridiculous. Yeah.
And you know what you don't want to do? You don't want to go into a store and try on a bathing suit that Ozzy Osbourne has just tried on.
No, you don't.
No. Why is... It's a man suit? I
hope. Yes.
Oh, okay.
Yes.
For a minute, I thought...
Well, I'm a man, so I'm talking as a man.
Go ahead.
Ozzy tried on a bikini, you think?
That's what flashed through my head, yes.
I'm wearing a sarong.
I can see that, too.
That's pretty.
Apparently, Ozzy didn't realize that you have to wear your underwear when you're trying on bathing suits.
Wow.
And he was in a store, and he had tried on three with his just his all-together rubbing up against that inner mesh. And Sharon walked in and found out that he was doing that, and apparently was heard screaming throughout the store at him that he was an idiot.
Did they buy all three?
She felt so bad that she took the three that he had tried on without his underwear up to the counter and purchased all
How
three
about
of them.
That? And then burned them?
I don't know what she did after the fact. But apparently she gave Ozzy, she schooled him on how to try on a swimsuit and then bought the ones that he had tried on by with his junk.
Don't you get the idea that Ozzy just at this point doesn't have any idea how anything works?
Yeah.
Genitals?
He was still surprised.
I like you so much better when you're naked.
Okay.
Wow.
See, Rodney. Today's celebrity birthday is actress Natalie Portman's 28 years old. Gloria Rubin from The Agency and ER, very beautiful, talented actress, is 45. Actor Johnny Depp celebrates his 46th birthday. Aaron Sorkin. You know, I was watching the NBC Tonight two-part behind-the-scenes at the White House news special.
Yes.
With Brian Williams. I don't even caught any of that, but fascinating. Pretty interesting stuff. The Obama White House looking at both the East and the West Wing. And how they run that. And it made me miss The West Wing so much as I watched it.
Yeah, that was one of the great shows.
Because it really captured, I mean, I didn't know anything about how the White House really worked, but when you see the actual White House working, you're like, it's just like The West Wing. But it made me think of that show a bit. And that's Aaron Sorkin, of course, created that show, and it makes me miss it. He's 48 years old today. Michael J. Fox is 48 as well. Nope.
Don't
do it.
Do it. Thank
I'm
you.
I'm not going to do it.
Thank you.
And the man who invented the electric guitar, Les Paul, is 94 years old today. I wonder if he still plays, even at 94.
He's still playing, guys.
Oh, is he being... Thank you.
I thought that was appropriate while we're talking about the man on his birthday.
You mean he has the strength to pluck a string still to this
I'm
day?
Saying he still is on stage in front of people playing electric guitar
you
at
mean
94
he
years
can
old.
Take his finger and run it
yes.
over a piece of string?
He can.
He can do that?
Yes,
That's
he can.
That's remarkable. It's not like he's a mountain climber. So he's still playing guitar. A lot of old people play guitar.
Have trouble with their fingers when they're 94. I'm just saying he still got it.
Some old people play banjo.
Yeah, that's
it's even
true.
Harder, man.
He's also an MMA fighter. I don't know if you've seen that.
Yeah, it's true.
He throws down.
I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
David Carradine, the actor, was just found in Bangkok, and it was an ugly story. Right. And it's been in the news pretty much every day for the last week. And the details on that story change every second, but. There was an interview that he did with Uncut Magazine. I think that's a music magazine, right, Bean, in England?
Uh-huh.
It is, although Dave, the King of Mexico, is on a different version of
yes.
Uncut. He's on the U.S. version of Uncut, which has nothing
different to
do with music.
But there was an interviewer there that interviewed David Carradine back in 2003. So as a way of kind of, paying homage, they reprinted some of that article. And in some of the article, David Carradine speaks about teaching Bob Dylan Kung Fu.
Now, this is interesting to me because David Carradine, of course, was the star of the TV show Kung Fu, but then, in fact, after that, went on to become a pretty well-known martial artist. I mean, he practiced Kung Fu his whole life, so it wasn't just because he was the TV guy. He knew what he was doing.
But 1967, 1968, Bob Dylan, I mean, even then, can you picture him doing
Not really,
Kung
no.
Fu? Bob Dylan?
It is hard to imagine.
So we thought we'd check in with Bob. We have a personal relationship with him, we like to think, and find out about him training with David Carradine. Hey, Bob.
Hey, Carradine. Again, telling you all, and Radio Happy Cat Theme Hour.
I didn't hear much of that, but we wanted to find out if this is a true story that Uncut is reporting, that David Carradine came to your house to teach you some martial arts.
Hey,
So right. I'm going to take that as a yes.
Yeah, get a gun. Don't stand for against Ben. Who's that? Kung Fu.
I heard Kung Fu, right? Okay.
Yeah.
Now, you have kind of flirted with boxing over the years, but a while you were interested in the Kung Fu as well, huh?
I can kick ass.
Really?
You don't strike me as a kick-ass kind of guy. Okay.
But you're kind of, you know, no offense, Mr. Dillon, because you're a great artist, but you're kind of scrawny. You're kind of little and kind of skinny. I mean, I can't picture that.
Well, you can't just book by the cover. And it's all an agony bonus and I'm going back to the sand. I'm going to see the same an MMA fighter.
I heard MMA fighter. I don't buy it.
You
are not an MMA fighter.
I am.
You're not.
And Bob Rampage Dillon.
I don't think so.
That name is taken, by the way.
Oh.
Yeah.
So you're into fighting, all kinds of fighting or just Kung Fu?
Boxing, Kung Fu, mm-hmm. Karate, Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu.
You don't do Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu.
I'm a black belt Jiu-Jitsu.
You're not.
I fight every day. I fear no man.
You're 150 years old right now. You don't fight now.
Doesn't mean I can't kick your ass.
Sort of.
Yeah, and then Happy Time Female this week, going about fighting.
Oh, you're doing a show on fighting.
Yeah, okay. I'm talking about fighting.
All right.
Same time, then everyone talks about it. I'll tell the story of kids fighting songs, because I'm who's the name.
That's exactly right.
Yeah.
Whatever you just said.
Songs like this one.
You don't even know the words to that.
Hey, Bob.
Him Tiger, right?
It makes it almost impossible to understand the lyrics when you do whatever it is you're doing.
Yo, Adrian.
So that's
Rocky.
from the Rocky movies. That's fighting. I get that. Yeah.
Yeah.
All right.
Yo, Adrian.
Yo, Adrian. Got it. Yep.
And then another fight song. You gotta fight. Hey,
sure.
It's not really about fighting as much as it is partying, but okay, all right, okay.
And this night song.
Well, that's not a song about fighting. It's a fight in the name of the band.
Yeah, it's the Foo Fighters, right. But that doesn't mean that's about fighting.
Couldn't find a lot of fighting songs. Squeeze that in.
Okay, all right.
Okay, but fighting the law isn't actually fighting either. That's just an expression.
Oh, sure.
Well, that's kind of appropriate.
Bob, we can't understand what he's
saying.
Okay.
Yeah. Me and David Carradine.
You and David Carradine.
Yeah. Kung Fu fighting.
Yep.
Yeah. That's what you were doing.
Choke each other until we had orgasm.
No.
Oh, no.
Okay. 106.7 K Rock is K R O Q. And it is 22 minutes after 7 o'clock.
Hey, how about some new music, Bob Marley? Come on, we've been waiting. What's up?
It's not
7:22 on the Kevin and Bean Show. Who's the next Breakfast With on the Kevin and Bean Show? Giant rock band, tiny little place. You get to be there. You get to hear them play live. You get to ask questions. We've got that coming up for you next. First, though, very excited to welcome to the program for the first time, I think, from the Pro Football Hall of Fame, ladies and gentlemen, Michael Irvin joins us on the phone on the Kevin and Bean Show. Hey, Mike, how are you, man?
What do you guys mean for the first time? It's not like I don't, you know, like I'm not out here doing anything. I should have been on the show.
Yeah, well,
it's our bad. I guess maybe we had an interview scheduled and you were sleeping. You ever think about that?
I was just telling my assistant, you know, I've been to L.A. and then back to New York and back to L.A., back to New York, back to Dallas. I got to go back to New York Monday. Yeah, I might have overslept just a little bit.
Well, all right, so we were supposed to talk to you last hour, but we're happy to talk
to you
now.
That's fine. No, we actually are very, very excited to talk to you because the program debuted last night on Spike. It is called Fourth and Long. And I got to be honest, Michael, I'm a little bit confused by this. So you have a deal on your TV show that you are guaranteeing the winner of your reality competition a chance to try out for the actual Cowboys, right?
Absolutely, yes.
So they get to go to training camp. That's the...
Now, why are you confused by it? I have six wide receivers and six defensive backs. And we went all over the country, L.A., Florida, Ohio, have an open tryout, so we narrowed it down to 50, then down to 30, and now down to 12. And then we took six wide receivers, six defensive backs, and we housed them at the Cotton Bowl, and we put them through a number of competitions and a number of challenges, and the guy that wins will get the contract and go to training camp with the real, not the play, not the fake, and not the I don't know about them. But the real Dallas Cowboys.
And when you say get a contract, isn't the training camp, isn't that just you still can be cut at that point, but they get a try?
Yeah, or anybody. Now, that's the one thing I tell people. That's the one thing that makes football different than most of the things that we do in life, and even in work, that training camp is open competition for everybody. I can't guarantee anybody on a spot in September because you have to go and earn that. That's
right.
The way it
right.
Be. The way it should be. That's why we all love football. When we see football, we usually say, okay, each guy out there has earned an opportunity to be out there. And no one should mess with that.
Now, it looks like most of the contenders are from college. They played football in college. Some of them are track stars, and where else do they come from?
Yeah, all over. You know, some guys from the AF Arena Football League, too. You know, but all of them have a base in football. No matter how much I believe having guys like Bill Bates, who played 15 years after basically walking on the Dallas Cowboys, and guys like Joe Avanzano, who's a three-time NFL Special Teams Coach of the Year. No matter how great they are in imparting wisdom and knowledge and know-how to play the game in the NFL, you must at least have a base. So certainly all of these guys have a base. Now it's just up to the guys that I've hired and put a team around these guys to give them the knowledge they need to play in the NFL.
I have a clip of the show. This is you talking to one of the wide receivers about not just kind of barely hitting the defender's hands out of the way, but being aggressive and getting past him.
You know, the best part about being in this competition is Michael Irvin, he can't help himself but to coach, and you can just see the fire behind his eyes.
If I see hands, forgive me hands again. You're not the Karate Kid. I don't want to see. That's junk. That's not a book somebody wrote, and the person who wrote it never played the game. Make him know you're here. You, come on, man. I want to see hunger going for that ball. Bottom line.
All right, now I do have to bust you on one thing, Michael, and of course this is ridiculous because you're an all-pro and everything else, but then you said you have to catch the ball in the end zone, and then you ran a pass pattern, and then the ball was right on your hands, and it fell to the ground.
Well, let's get this right now, guys.
All right.
I think Woody tipped the ball, and I had it in my hands not to make it infuriate.
All right, but you need to catch that, Michael.
I need to catch it. You know what? I'm out here telling these guys everything, what it takes and how to get it done, and then the next thing you know, that ball goes off my head.
That was awesome.
I couldn't sleep that night. I know everybody's talking about that was awesome.
Well, it was awesome. It was awesome, but only from the standpoint of everyone's seen you do it for real, so I don't think it's a big deal, obviously.
Yeah,
but
it was fun. It's fun sometimes, and I'm on those guys pretty hard the whole show, you know, and talking about being perfect.
Yep.
And that's the key. And I tell them, the reality is I was a first rounder. I may have an opportunity to drop that play and keep playing. You're the last rounder. You can't
that's
drop
right.
that play and
right.
expect an opportunity.
That's right.
So, you know, that's the truth.
Yeah, I can see that.
Let me ask you about this too, Michael, because this is one of the things we talk about on our show all the time. It's so easy to sit at home and see. I mean, let's face it, you're one of the college players that won a national championship and then panned out and went on to repeat your success even more in the NFL. But a lot of guys that we see that are great in college never make it to the NFL, or when they do, they're busts. Why is that? Why is it so hard to make that transition?
Let me tell you something. That's a great question. That is a great question. And because people say, Michael, you really believe this guy will be able to play in the NFL? And I say yes, because it's not just about the talent. It's about exactly what you just asked. It's about the transition. That's why we see guys, and I don't mean to talk about him, but I'll use him as an example. Matthew Stafford, right. with the first pick in the draft, he goes to Detroit. We know this guy is talented. We know this guy is gifted. We know he has talent. We know he's gifted. But he goes to Detroit, and they never teach him how to study. They never teach him really what to study. They never teach him how to become a professional because they don't know how to become how to be a professional. That's why they go at 16. And yeah. what happens 3-4 years from now, that guy loses all of his confidence. And what does he say? What do we say? Man, he didn't pan out. He's a bust.
Yeah,
now,
that's right.
The reality is you can take a guy, and even a guy on the other end, the bottom spectrum, and you can put him right in. You can put him in that situation, and you give him the proper training. You give him the proper techniques. You tell him how to study film. You tell him how to practice. You tell him how to work out. And then turn around, he could be a successful guy like a Bill Bates who walked on and had a 15-year career. Because when he walked on, he got around people that knew what it took to play football in the NFL. And that's what we're trying to give these guys. It's not just being able to play football from shoulders down. It's also being able to play football shoulders up. And that's how you stay in this league.
That makes a lot of sense. Now, let me ask you, we're almost out of time with the great Michael Irvin on the phone. Fourth and Long is the show Monday nights at 10 on Spike. Does this ever come up in the show where you talk to the young men about the ways to handle themselves off the field, because that's a concern for every single person who ends up being a pro?
The show would lose every bit of credibility if I didn't approach that subject with my own history intact.
Right.
You see what I'm saying?
Sure.
It would lose every bit of credibility, because if I'm here to give you everything I know about the NFL, and we all know about my history off the field, let's be honest.
Let's just say you've had a lot of it.
Let's talk about it, guys. Let's say my history off the NFL with drugs and women and getting caught in hotel rooms and arrested and Roger Goodell's conduct rule, it wouldn't be authentic. So absolutely. Yeah. I brought in Hollywood Henderson. You'll see this in one of the later episodes. Brought in Hollywood Henderson. He talks to the guys about what he was doing Super Bowls, cocaine. We talk about my issues. You better believe we did. We can't run from anything if we're going to be real and help these kids. We got to be real and help these kids.
That sounds great. Michael, when you have time, next time you're in Los Angeles, we would love to be able to spend some more time with you and maybe have you stop by the studios here, and we can really get into some of this stuff, because it's fascinating.
And I'm talking about the stuff that we just finished talking about the perils of life and some of the things we need to help some of these kids watch out. I told Roger Goodell, Commissioner Goodell, I said, man, I love your policy, because a lot of these kids at 22, I'm telling you, I was there. A lot of these kids at 22, they don't know how much they're going to regret this at 42.
Right.
They don't know.
Right.
And we're in a different time. Let me tell you this quick story before I go.
Right.
I came home one day. I was out working somewhere. I came home, and my son, Michael and Elijah, I got a son, 12 and 10, 2 years old. They changed the screensaver on the computer, on the house computer. And they had this picture of me doing first down. You know how we used to do the first down.
Right.
I come home, I see the picture, I'm all proud. I say, hey, son, where'd you guys get this picture? You know, they said, we Googled you, Dad. My heart hit the floor.
Yeah, oops.
Go get your brother. We need to have a conversation.
They could have put a lot of pictures up there.
Yeah.
Could have been you in a fur coat, Michael.
Yeah, all of that. I didn't know how to ask, what all did you see?
Right.
What all did you read?
Tell me everything you saw. That's awesome.
Saying, and I tell guys, I say, guys, listen, if you're not going to try to make the right decision for you, make it for your kids. Because the days of somebody having to go to the library and go through all of these papers and go over here and see the eyes and then hunt you down and follow you up to read about you, those days are antiquated. They're
yep,
dead
that's
and
right.
gone. All they will do now is put your name in and push a button, and everything that's you right. ever do will come up. So think about that.
All right. Super Bowl champ and pro football Hall of Famer Michael Irvin on the phone. Fourth and Long is the show Monday nights at 10 on Spike. Michael, I hope we get a chance to spend some more time with you soon, my man. Thanks for coming on today.
I appreciate it. I apologize for taking so much time, but I thought that was weird. Where they're getting out.
Thank you, Michael.
Absolutely. Bye-bye, sir.
Yeah.
See you later.
Bye now. All right. That's Michael Irvin. That's a pretty good show, by the way. That's a pretty interesting show.
Yeah,
to
I'm going to watch it. It sounds great. I love that they're talking about the other stuff, too.
Let's talk about breakfast with. We need to make that announcement. We've been promising you that. We have had many good breakfasts in the past.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's time for our breakfast with My Chemical Romance.
Ladies and gentlemen, Jack Johnson, Blink 182,
Radiohead.
No doubt, everybody.
Because I'm just a girl.
Nine Inch Nails and the world famous Kirox.
Ladies and gentlemen, Metallica.
U2.
Foo Fighters.
Let's hear it for Weezer.
Breakfast with the Killers.
Please welcome Coldplay.
And it was all yellow.
Breakfast with Green Day on the Kevin and Bean Show. How about some more live music?
That was like, I don't know, yesterday.
So we got to be done, right? Clearly there's no one left.
We are going to have another breakfast, and you are invited. It is going to be next Tuesday morning, and it is breakfast with Incubus. Breakfast with
Lisa's
Incubus.
Boyfriend.
I love Brandon.
You get tickets to see them at the Hollywood Bowl. You get tickets for our breakfast, which is going to be at the LACMA, which is the L.A. County Museum of Art. Mm-hmm. You know, that's where I spend a lot of my off time.
Sure.
So breakfast with Incubus. We're going to start giving away tickets next. If you'd like to play the hardest game in the world, give us a call at 1-800-520-1067.
Calling all K-Rock listeners. We're looking for serious Incubus fans.
Listen all this week for your only way in to Kevin and Bean.
Breakfast with Incubus.
A breakfast that gives you go power.
Incubus, performing live and answering your questions at the LA County Museum of Art.
I cannot tolerate this type of chaos. This is a museum.
It's common as a cold day in LA.
Win your way in.
Plus, win tickets from K-Rock to see us at the Hollywood Bowl.
July 13th.
K-Rock's got the most tickets, yo.
Kevin and Bean's Breakfast with Incubus.
That's right, you can't buy tickets to get in. You must listen to K-Rock to win them.
Oh, I can't wait to see you. Won't you come?
This is the Kevin and Bean Show. Just announced on our show is our new breakfast. This time it's Breakfast with Incubus. You know, they got a big tour going on this summer. They got a new Greatest Hits record coming out. They're going to be playing at the Hollywood Bowl. You'll win tickets for that. And you'll be able to join us at our Breakfast With, which is going to be at the LA County Museum of Art on Tuesday morning. This one is going to be live. You can be there to see them perform and to ask your questions of Incubus. If you are a fan, you want to call us right now at 1-800-520-1067. I believe it's time to play a very difficult game.
Presenting the hardest game in the world.
Mr. Announcer Man, good morning.
Good morning, Kevin and Bean.
And why is it the hardest game in the world?
Well, we'll be playing for you titles of Incubus songs. All you need to do is to identify those song titles. Oh, I almost forgot. They'll be backwards.
Wait, that sounds like it would make it more difficult to know what the title is.
It's a good world!
All right, let's see how this goes. Obviously, people have just found out about the Breakfast with Incubus, so the hardcore fans are already on the phone, insisting that they must go. Who's our first contestant?
First up is KC. He's the leader of the Sunshine Band.
Yeah. Wow. KC and the Sunshine Band. Hey, KC.
Hey, everybody.
You ready for your for this song title?
Yeah.
All right, here you go. You can hear it twice. That's it. Here we go.
Here it lights.
Love Hurts.
Ooh, should have waited for that second time, Casey.
Stellar.
Sorry. It was Stellar.
It's the hardest game in the world.
Well, it's not simple.
Mary Rose is next. She's a preschool teacher.
Hey, Mary Rose.
Yeah. Hi, guys. Hi, Kevin and Bean. Lisa May.
Hello.
I got to be honest, that does sound like your stripper name.
Oh, no, it's not. It's your real name.
Yeah, she's not. I don't think she's preschool teaching during the day and then spearmint rhinoing at night.
You'd be surprised, my friend.
Okay.
All right, Mary Rose. Here's your song. You can hear it twice. Here you go.
Skinny Mulligan.
One more time.
Skinny Mulligan.
That is an Incubus song title. What is it?
Oh, I can't even hear anything.
That's too bad.
I'm just gonna guess.
Should have had your radio turned down, Mary Rose.
That was...
Megalomaniac.
Yeah.
So, 0-2. Is this game not easy, Mr. Announcer Man?
It's the hardest game in the world!
Who else do we have?
Maria! She's a case manager. I'm thinking she deals with luggage.
Okay. Maria, hi.
Hi, guys. Hi, Lisa May.
Hello.
Did you know the first two?
No, I could barely hear it.
Okay, listen. We're turning it up as loud as we can, and it's the same for everybody. So here you go. Here, okay. Twice. One more time.
Is it
Animali?
Warning.
No, it's warning. Sorry.
Warning.
This game does not seem to get a lot of winners.
It's the hardest game in the world. Next up is Jackie. She works for Domino's Pizza. Avoid the noid.
come on.
Wow. Hi, Jackie.
Hi, how are you?
Good, thanks.
Jackie, you don't have any of those loogie pizzas at your location, do you?
No, we actually don't.
Okay.
Good. Loogie Pizza is a good band name, by the way. All right. Here's your song backwards. You can hear it twice.
Again.
One more time.
Again.
Dig.
Yes!
Dig is right.
Good job.
Congratulations. You got tickets to see the band when they play the Hollywood Bowl, and you got tickets to the Breakfast with Incubus next Tuesday.
Thank you.
Nicely done.
That one was virtually the same backwards as forwards, and I think that helped. All right, Mr. Announceman, we have time for just one more, I think.
Next up is Amy. She's a teacher.
Hey, Amy.
Good morning.
You ready for your song backwards?
Yes.
Here it comes.
Hey, here we shoo.
I want in one more time.
Hey, here we shoo.
Oh, my God. Talk shows on mute?
That's a good guess because there was multiple words and all. But it was...
Wish You Were Here.
There you go.
Oh, if only it had been a bigger hit.
Sorry.
Mr. Announcement Man.
That was a good guess.
We have many more tickets to give away. We actually didn't even give enough away right there. So we'll continue giving those out here on the Kevin and Bean
Show.
We
stock them deep and sell them cheap.
We do. Thank you, Mr. Announcer Man.
Thank you.
Sweet.
Weezer on the world-famous K-Rock, 106.7 KROQ at 7:56.
Should have played the hash pipe when we were bringing Michael Irvin on a few minutes
ago.
Whoa!
How do you do it?
All right, 7:56 in the 8 o'clock hour, by the way, a preview of Game 3 of the NBA Finals. We'll talk to former sports guy at the Kevin Bean Show, Matt Money Smith. He's in Orlando, actually, working for the Lakers today. So, all right, Ralph is here with the Showbiz Beat for Tuesday morning. What's going on?
It is Tuesday. That means new CDs and DVDs and the like are in stores. So let me tell you what's available if you want to pick up something new. Battle for the Sun by Placebo.
Okay.
Drops today. We're currently playing For What It's Worth by that band here on K-Rock.
Great song.
The END by the Black Eyed Peas. The End. Energy Never Dies. That stands for END.
It's a good song.
Energy Never Dies.
To make your bonkers, Dave?
Oh, boom, boom, pow's good. Whatever you say, no, would you wrong, like, you're wrong. It's good.
Would you like Kevin to do a little of the boom, pow for you?
Let me hear a little of the boom, boom, pow.
Okay,
like
Kevin, do boom,
not.
Boom, pow.
I'd rather not.
Let me hear a little bit.
Do I have to?
Taste. Yeah, a little taste.
Yes, you do.
You've been annoying us with it in the office for weeks.
I'm so 2008, you're so 2008. All right, that's
oh, you didn't say it, man.
I thought it was 3008, 3008.
No, what the hell?
No, it's two.
Wow, way to bring it.
Wait, can I have that record? I love that song.
The Eternal by Sonic Youth drops today as well as Flight 666 by Iron Maiden. New DVDs in stores, Gran Torino, starring Clint Eastwood.
That was a good movie.
I love that movie. Yeah.
I never got around to seeing that.
Oh, that's so
good. I'm going to pick this up on the Blu-ray. I'm going to go by Best Buy today and nail it on the Blu-ray and take it home and watch it and just watch Clint point guns.
If you're frustrated by political correctness, this is the movie for you. He offends on every level, and still you end up liking him.
Is it one of, I remember this at the time, one of your three favorite movies of all time?
Yes.
Okay, so that's in your top three of all time, as is The Hangover.
Hangover is now number one. That's correct. Favorite movie of all time.
Of all time.
Let me take care of things. That's what I do.
I'm a finisher.
I'm a finisher.
Fired Up, also on DVD today. Those two crazy guys, they go to cheerleader camp.
What?
And then there's all these girls there. And then they find out an important lesson about themselves. That women aren't just to be thought of as sex objects. They're people, too.
Yeah, I'd rather die.
Yeah. On DVD, TV shows. The S.H.I.E.L.D. Season 7, the final season of S.H.I.E.L.D. available finally on a DVD to round out your S.H.I.E.L.D. collection. Reaper Season 2, and as it turns out, final season. You can check that out as well. And The Cleaner, if you're enjoying The Cleaner with Benjamin Bratt over on TNT, you can get the first season on DVD. So there's your DVD CD update. Pink may be happily reunited with Carrie Hart. Doesn't mean she can't flirt with other women, right?
I hope not.
Sure.
Apparently, Pink and her husband hit up a lesbian bar in Sydney, Australia over the weekend.
Crikey!
Where she was so popular with the lesbians that security had to be brought in to escort the happy couple out of the place.
And they took how many with them?
Yeah, that's what I want to know. Pink loves the ladies.
She does.
Yeah. Turns out she's been spotted making out with more than one stripper in a parking lot, apparently. So, apparently she's an equal opportunity macker.
Okay, explain the Pink.
Well, she's an artist who, she sings songs, and she's married to Carrie Hart.
How do you know they're Pink?
David Letterman is said to be close to a 3-year extension on his contract with CBS. That will keep him with the iNetwork through 2012, which is good for people who
Watch that show.
Like that show.
Mm-hmm.
Exactly. I'm a little bit surprised every time he renews because he seems like a guy who doesn't enjoy the spotlight and would rather just be at home on his farm in Montana. I can see him just going away and staying away like Carson did.
He loves doing his show, though.
Yeah, he likes doing
show. Yeah. He must, yeah.
I only have time for one. I like Conan and all, but I just Jimmy Kimmel is the only one I have time for.
Yeah, I don't have time for any. I don't watch any late-night television. Unless I know someone's going to be on one of the shows that I really particularly like and I want to see the interview, then I'll tape it. But I just I don't have a regular diet of late-night television because I just can't squeeze it in.
Nah.
I can't stay up that late, first of all, and then I can't watch it next day. I know, but I got a lot of stuff on TiVo that I got to get to, so I kind of falls by the wayside. And you know those shows? They have a real quick expiration date. If you don't catch them in the first day or two, in my opinion, the jokes get stale because it's all sort of current stuff and everything.
Right.
So I don't watch that stuff too much.
You know, he doesn't get the press, especially now with all the shuffling going on, but Craig Ferguson still puts on a very funny show, too.
All right, then. We love everyone in late night. That's how we feel. And good news, if you're a fan of My Name is Earl, Daily Variety is saying that TBS is currently in talks to pick up the series, despite the fact that NBC dropped it. They already carry the My Name is Earl reruns, and so they are in negotiations perhaps to start running first-run episodes of My Name is Earl on that network, so the show will live on, which is good news because I think it's a real good show.
I do, too.
So we'll have to wait and
see
what
happens. It's a long list. I'll tell you that. That is a long list that he has.
Yeah, he's
got
a lot of
things
to do.
Over 200 things, I think.
Does not seem to be making progress.
He has a lot of things to correct and rectify. That's all I'm saying. Rectify yourself before you checktify yourself. That's what I say.
I'm not sure that's how it goes.
I'm not either. Right. Today's celebrity birthdays, actress Natalie Portman is 28 years old. Actress Gloria Rubin celebrates her 45th birthday. Johnny Depp. How great is Johnny Depp?
The best.
Just the best at everything he does.
Great does that Public Enemies movie, whatever the hell it is.
Yeah. It can't look any better. Yeah. No movie is more exciting.
Christian Bale.
Yeah.
Oh, that looks good.
Man.
When does that come out?
And
July 1st.
And Marion Cotillard.
Yeah.
She's also in it. Looking pretty. What?
Really? She's a beautiful
girl. Stunning.
And a great actress.
Her eyes are bonkers.
What?
Oh.
She's got bonkers. What's wrong with you?
She's got eyes that are bonkers.
She's stunning.
She's got, I can see that you find her attractive, but her eyes are bonkers.
You need to be hit with a shovel. Right in that giant melon of yours.
Just saying.
Go!
But the movie looks good.
Oh, man.
Despite
her bonkers eyes?
Yeah.
Aaron Sorkin is 48 years old. Michael J. Fox, also 48. Hard to believe that little Marty McFly is 48 years old. Seems like just the other day he was zooming around on a hoverboard.
Yeah. Does Doc Brown have any messages for him?
Marty! Don't grow up! You'll start shaking!
Oh, wow.
He's in the past. He can see things. He can travel back and tell people things.
That's ugly.
And Les Paul is 94 years old today. If that name is not familiar to you, he pretty much invented and perfected the electric guitar. Everything you hear today on electric guitar was made possible by this old dude who, I think he just plugged in a regular guitar one day. Just worked. It was wacky that way. No one had thought of it. He is 94 years old. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz.
This is the Kevin and Bean Show. Just announced last hour. It's our latest breakfast. We've barely got past Green Day, and we got breakfast with Incubus coming up. You can win tickets to see them at the Hollywood Bowl and join us at the LACMA. That's the L.A. County Museum of Art. Apparently, they are fans of that place, and we're going to be broadcasting live from there with the band. Your chance to win those tickets on the way from the Kevin and Bean Show.
We need to work out some technical issues, however, before we do that breakfast.
Why? Yep. What's going on?
Well, I don't know if you guys remember all the way back to yesterday, but at the beginning of the breakfast, it was difficult to hear Dave, the King of Mexico, who had the microphone out in the crowd so that they could ask questions. So we asked if it could be fixed, and then they fixed it. But Dave, for some reason, didn't think that they fixed it. I guess we were recording it in two places, so it sounded okay on the air from one of the recordings. But I want you to know what we heard while doing the breakfast with Green Day. So we have Green Day to our left. We have the crowd in front of us. Dave is out there in the crowd. And listen to the volume difference between either me or Bean, whoever's speaking, and then Dave the King Mexico, who thinks that it hasn't been fixed and so is now going to eat the microphone pretty much to make sure that he can be heard.
King, don't screw this up, man. This is Green Day. They're big time, all right?
I got Natalie from Corona.
Yes, that's exactly what it sounded like to us.
So at that point, I threw my headphones off because I think both ears started bleeding.
Well, what can you do, man? You know, I've got to be heard.
Right. But
I've got to be
heard.
But
the thing is that off the air when I said, can we get this fixed, they fixed it, which means then you don't need to.
I got Rachel from Pasadena.
You don't need that. I have important info that needs to be said and heard.
Right.
And you know what? I don't think
do you have to say it into the microphone like this?
I don't trust the engineers enough that
they fix it like that.
Just like K-Rock engineers. You tell them to do one thing and it takes forever. Right, so I just wanted to make sure that I was heard.
Right, but these weren't K-Rock engineers. This was an actual professional company.
Could you not hear that?
I was behind the speakers.
Oh, you didn't have headphones.
No, I didn't have headphones either.
That's why you couldn't tell. Yeah. But you couldn't tell that the person asking the question was talking about at about one-tenth the level that you were either?
It's because they're bad and they're not professionals like we are.
You didn't see Kevin's ears bleeding?
Did you see me throw my headphones off?
I was looking at the people, you know.
That hurt like a mother.
Looking at the fans.
My thing with the King, was it just that he was pretending that there was no such thing as the invention of amplified sound? That wasn't the only problem I had with D. He sounded so angry with these people. We'd be having a friendly chit-chat with Green Day and with the audience. We'd be like, hey, what's going on, Dave? And he'd be like, I've got Steve from Pacoima here. Yeah. I was like, why are you so angry at Steve? The kid just wants to ask a question.
Dude, it was so early in the morning, though. You know, you're still waking up.
So King of Mexico in the crowd here this morning. Breakfast with Green Day. We got some more fans. Who's up next, Dave?
Yeah, I got Ray from Van Nuys.
You sound mad.
I got Ray. God damn it, he's from Van Nuys.
Brandon from Van Nuys.
All right. Take it easy, Dave.
All right. All right. Great question. Who's next, King?
I got Leo from Montebello.
Good delivery.
See, I got a little happier there.
And yet, I have permanent ear damage. That's the problem.
All right. King of Mexico is in the audience with a microphone. Who's next for us?
Michelle from Van Nuys.
You would think they would spread the volume around a little bit between, I don't know, us and Green Day, and maybe a little less on Dave.
And it never changed throughout the entire breakfast.
Dave, who's next for us now?
Guys, I got Jimmy from Ontario.
Yes, Dave, who else do we have?
Guys, this is Leticia from Rialto.
Okay, listen. So maybe we could work that issue out between now and our Incubus practice.
No, I never practiced.
Is Lisa from Montebello?
Better.
Let's have Dave stand about 25 feet back behind the microphone for Incubus.
Okay. King, don't screw this up, man. This is Green Day. They're big time, all right?
I got Natalie from Corona.
Okay, all right. Take it easy. 106.7 K-Rock is K-R-O-Q, and it is 23 minutes after 8 o'clock.
I can't tell if he was excited about the Lakers or he was being tortured about the Lakers. I can't really tell what's going on with that guy.
King of Mexico in the crowd here this morning. Breakfast with Green Day. We got some more fans. Who's up next, Dave?
Yeah, I got Ray from Van Nuys.
Okay. Dave's microphone was louder than ours. We get it. 8:24 on the Kevin and Bean Show. Down 0-2. The series moves to Orlando, home of the Magic. Former sports guy of the Kevin and Bean Show, Matt Money Smith, joins us on the phone right now from Florida. Hey, Money. How are you, man?
I am scrambling. How are you?
We are good. How's Orlando?
It's I was sweating like a mother scratcher.
Yeah.
Just went out to get my rent-a-car, you know, just kind of walked out the front of the hotel here, hopped in a little shuttle, went to the airport, got my rent-a-car. By the time I came back, I looked like I'd ran 15 miles.
Yeah, it's rough on the East Coast right now.
I'll tell you, I don't get it, man. I really don't. Tiger lives. I guess that, you know, there's that whole state income tax thing.
Sure.
But it's like, I mean, it is just oppressing. I mean, the humidity, and I just feel like an old man now. What is this, like 60-year-old talk? The weather's oppressing out here.
No, but if you live anywhere, you know, in the western half of the United States, you don't feel that kind of humidity where you take a shower and then you need another shower in 10 seconds.
Yeah, it's really quite remarkable. But enough about the weather.
All right.
I just bumped into Charles Barkley. That dude is a mountain. I mean, a freaking mountain.
Are you staying at the same
hotel?
Oh, same hotel he is?
Yeah. It's funny. Last night I bumped into him at the gym. I went down to the fitness center to run, and he was walking out. It kind of as I was walking in, and I'm telling you. I would have believed it if someone said, yeah, oh, yeah, Charles just jumped into a pool, climbed out, and walked through the fitness center.
He sweats a little?
He was that sweaty. It was ridiculous.
Okay, I know you gay guys love talking about man and sweat for the whole interview, but I'm interested in a little bit of basketball talk. What's the vibe down there? Hey, now we're home and we're going to turn this sucker around, or it's only a matter of time before we lose this final?
I think more the latter. You know, the Magic have to win 4 or 5. And I know everyone says, oh, the cliche, take one at a time. All you got to do is win the next one. And then, you know, you're halfway there to evening this thing up. But that still doesn't take away from this Orlando Magic team has to beat the Lakers in 4 of 5 games. And I just can't see how that's possible. You know, I mean, barring some injury, I just don't know how they're going to do that. You know, the statistic, just historically speaking, you know, 11 of 13 teams that have gone up 2-0 since they changed to this format have won.
Well, and it's not just that. It's not just those statistics of the past. It's also, you know, barring an injury, the Lakers team really is better than Orlando.
Yeah.
So they have to win 4 out of 5 against a team that is actually better than them. That's the difference between like this and, say, the Super Bowl. You know, any team can have one bad game.
Right.
And you can beat them. But to be able to win 4 out of 7, that makes it a lot harder.
Usually the better team wins the 4 games.
Yeah.
How have you talked to her? Have you heard anybody talking to her about that poor guy for Orlando? What's his name? Lee with the face mask who missed that layup as the time expired in game 2. They could have won it right there and not gone to overtime and lost it. What's his life been like since that failed shot?
You know, it seems like the more people we talk to, the more people say that it wasn't as easy as people think it was.
Don't care.
They say, A, he was moving, you know, moving at a high rate of speed. He had to barely get a hand on the ball before the clock expired. He was actually under the backboard when he had to put that thing up. And Pau Gasol's hand was right there at the rim, so we had to adjust for Pau and get that ball over his hand. Kind of push the ball up a little bit higher than he probably would have liked.
Right,
to.
But having said that, if you were to be presented with 15 different opportunities for the end of the game, that's the one you would choose.
It was a brilliant play. They could not have drawn it up any better. I think you have 1.2 seconds on the clock and maybe doesn't feel so rushed to get that thing up.
Right,
there,
but they had 0.6.
So I think that's that was a factor as well. Look, I mean, it was a great opportunity. He I don't want to say he should have put it down, but he had a great chance to end that thing right there. I think people are maybe giving him a little bit too much slack because it was a tough shot.
You know what I noticed though was all of his teammates right after that ran right out to him. And they were like, because they all know that he would make that 19 times out of 20.
Yeah.
And they've done stuff like that too. And he must feel terrible. And I'm sure it looked like.
I don't think he would make it 19 times out of 20. I think that's a 50-50. Like I said, with all the factors, you know, with Powell's hand at the rim, going under the backboard, 0.6 seconds, you know, an awkward shot because of your balance and momentum, I think it's 50-50. And I think, you know, just watching it, you say, wow, that dude was right at the rim. It was a perfect pass. It looks like it should be 19 out of 20, but it's tougher. I mean, that said, he's a rookie. It's not like it was, you know, Kobe Bryant or Dwight Howard who missed that shot.
Right.
There is that factor as well.
He's a rookie who's in his finals in his first year and has to guard Kobe. That seems...
And by the way, it's not like he's a rookie that came out of Duke or North Carolina. The kid went to Western Kentucky. Their mascot is a big blob of red goo. You
know, wow.
It's not like there was great basketball acumen there or you know, a great basketball tradition.
Does he have a broken nose or why does he wear the Jason mask?
Yeah, he got his face all busted up, I think, 2 rounds ago.
He was in Poison the other night on the Tonys. That's what happened to him. Hey, Money, we're almost out of time here, but how is Orlando at home?
Did we just make a Tonys reference in a sports conversation?
Well, if you didn't see that video...
I did see it.
You did, okay.
I did see Brett Michaels get taken out.
Yeah, it was the best.
Special.
All right, go ahead.
I missed the question. I was still thinking about the Tonys.
How is Orlando at home? What kind of a difference does it make there?
They're great. They are great at home. They did, however, lose game 1 to Philadelphia and needed some late game magic to beat them in game 2. So they have had their challenges at home. Boston beat them at home. Remember old Fatty Glenn Davis hit that jumper at the end of the game to take a game here. So they are vulnerable. But they're probably more comfortable. Their guys have been missing shots. It'll be a familiar backdrop for them as opposed to Staples Center. That I would imagine their guards feel a little bit better. You know,
yeah, they were, even when the Lakers weren't playing good defense, they were missing open threes, which for them is just death.
Yeah, just missing wide open shots.
In some series, I would be concerned about the Lakers like going easy on him now, like letting up a little bit. But looking at the way Kobe played in game 2, I have a feeling that he's going to continue with that intensity and he's going to make sure the other teammates know that there's no time to slack.
Yeah, he didn't have a good game. He actually had a pretty poor game, too.
Yeah, he did.
To be honest with you.
But the intensity...
But the intensity is there, and the intensity, you know, I think they realized last year that they had game one and let it slip away, and they were just a little too grab-assy after that game. You know, they really kind of approached it as, no big deal. We should have won that game. We'll win the next one, and then we'll sweep it home. And they got busted up. You know, I think they were down 30 in that too. So clearly it's a different mentality. It's a finish every single game as soon as you can. To hell with taking it easy. We've got to get this thing done in four.
Do the Lakers win in four?
I don't know if they'll win in four. I think they're going to win here, though. I think
they'll win in Orlando.
I think so. Yeah. I don't think Orlando gets two of the three here. I think they might get one. And if they're going to get one, I would guess it'd probably be tonight. Obviously, they go down 3-0. You know, Nick Van Exel, 1-2-3, Cancun. Let's get the hell out of here.
I got to tell you, watching the NBA playoffs throughout this entire season and all of the different, it doesn't seem like home court advantage is all that huge. A lot of times, man, the other team will come in and they'll beat you, and there's no way for your crowd to help you.
It's been a good playoff. I think that's why. I think you've had some good matchups. Where teams, you know, even though you might have more talent on one team, the way, like the Rockets, because of their perimeter defense and the way they matched up with the Lakers, was good. Excuse me.
What's happening,
damn
money?
Humidity.
Damn humidity.
Down, boy.
Sounds like damn chewing tobacco to me, money.
Yeah, I'm telling you. No, I think that's why. Is, you know, Philly and Orlando in the first round gave Orlando trouble because they just had good matchups for them. So I think that's what you've seen through the course of these playoffs.
Let me ask one more question, and that is about who's the Candyman?
Lamar Odom. Yeah, that's quite the big story.
Lamar Odom. They did a piece on him at halftime of Game One, where it talked about all of his candy, and he gets every type of gummy bear and every other kind of candy. He eats it literally all day, every day.
It's unbelievable.
Oh, Mac? I'm sorry. Yeah, the guy that rolls with Lamar, Mac. Yeah, Lamar. Look, Lamar is the best guy ever, but he's a crazy, interesting dude, and he has got Mac doing crazy things all day long.
That's his assistant who has to go get all the candy.
Yeah, well, and it's not just candy. It's like, you know, there's just a million things Lamar's always got going on. It's ridiculous, the list of stuff that guy has to do. Every time I'm going somewhere, he's going somewhere. It's like, hey, where are you going, Mac? Oh, I got to go up to Annie's Pretzels and get a whole stack of cinnamon sugar pretzels. There's always something happening in that dude's life where he's just in a million different directions.
And are people treating Lamar differently now that they know the nickname and all that?
A little bit, yeah. Oh, yeah. You know, I was just saying, on the plane, the stewardess had a giant bag of Twizzlers for him. We got to the hotel, and they had a huge bowl of Jolly Ranchers, and everyone, like, you know, they feel like they have this connection to Lamar. Like, ooh, I'm fat, too. Here's a bunch of candy.
Except for he's not fat. What about that?
Yeah, exactly. So he's like their poster child. See? You can eat candy and be in good shape.
Sure. Well, yeah, finally, this is the hero that I've been looking for to base my diet on. All right, we are out of time. Game 3 of the NBA Finals are going to be tonight at 6 o'clock on the TV. And don't miss our friend Matt Money Smith, along with Petros Papadakis, on Fox Sports Radio. Money, have a great time in Orlando, man. When you come back, the Lakers should be champs. So we'll talk to you then, dude.
That's what we're hoping.
All right, thank you, man.
See you guys. Bye
now. You're listening to the Kevin and Bean Show. Remember back when we used to do those breakfast shows, Kevin? A long time ago now, but we'd take a band that we play, somebody like the Kings of Leon maybe, and we'd put them in a small room with a bunch of listeners, and then they'd play live, and then we'd get to ask questions, and it just seems like it's been forever.
Yeah,
we
did that yesterday. And
isn't it time to announce something new, though, is what I'm saying to you?
We're already giving away tickets for Incubus. We're doing a breakfast with Incubus.
Now that you say that, I do remember that. Yeah, it's going to be Tuesday on the Kevin and Bean Show. That's right. Your chance to win tickets coming up.
Now, Bean's been talking a lot off the air about whether he should get Blu-ray or not.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I don't know if I'm... Is it just a fad, or should I get Blu-ray?
I appreciate the fact that the Blu-ray is backwards compatible. At least they've made that concession, meaning that you don't have to go out and get a whole new system and replace all of your DVDs. Because sometimes when there's an upgrade, you do have to do that.
Right.
Everything you had before is now worthless. That's not the case with the Blu-ray. I get that. But I keep having these feeling, and you know, I see how excited like Ralph is about the Blu-ray. He's already going out to buy the Gran Torino movie today. He's got to have that on the Blu-ray.
Oh, that's awesome.
How much better does it need to look than DVD, first of all?
It just, if it does, why wouldn't you like it? I mean, it just does. It looks that much better.
Well, because a lot of people don't necessarily want to go out and spend a few $100 for something that looks a little bit better than movies that already look fantastic.
I don't know if it'll play my 45 records.
And
And the thing that I'm really concerned about is that I feel like that that we're clinging on to the very edges of having a physical disc involved at all. Like, I don't want to get all excited about and invested in a technology like the Blu-ray that is still going to involve a disc if 2 years from now I'm going to be able to hit a button and watch Gran Torino, say, in high definition on a Blu-ray player. And it's just going to be streamed to me from some server somewhere. Like, what's the point? It seems like we're extending the life of a physical disc, and that can't have much life left in it. That's what my point is.
All right. Well, we have a specialist. We have Chris Walker, who is the senior manager product planning for Pioneer. Hey, okay. Chris.
Hey, good morning, everybody.
So,
thanks for joining me. Am I talking crazy, or am I expressing the fears of a lot of consumers who see technology come and go so fast and wonder which ones are worth investing in?
No, I don't think you're talking crazy at all, but I think what you're talking about may be years off from now. The major problem is that the infrastructure for broadband here in the U.S. is significantly much slower than it is all over the rest of the world. Most people have cable or DSL. They're getting anywhere from a megabyte to maybe 5 megabytes worth of download speed. And for streaming high definition, you need much higher than that. The average Blu-ray player streams or plays high definition content at somewhere between 15 and say 25 megabits per second. An internet connection just
that seems like more. That seems better.
It's a lot better. And the way that they're able to achieve some of these streaming HD services now is they further compress it. It's like taking a CD and using an MP3 compression, and mm-hmm. they're just going to reduce the quality to where they can add as many channels as they want, or they can sip. You know, the only definition for high definition is that it's at least 720 progressive or 1080i. Those are the only requirements. Bitrate has nothing to do with it from a broadcast or a streaming perspective.
Can Bean carry his Blu-ray player in his covered wagon?
I'm not a Luddite. Look, I love technology, believe uh-huh. me. I mean, I got the DVR the minute I could. I mean, I like all of this stuff. But, I mean, I look at Netflix is a perfect example, Chris. I mean, I'm very excited about the Netflix. But, you know, more and more, increasingly, the movies are available on demand. You just hit a button and play. You don't bother waiting for them to send it through the mail to you so that you can watch it on a little disc and then send it back. Now you just watch it live. It just seems like that's the direction that all entertainment is headed. But what you're saying is we're still a long ways away from that because our infrastructure can't keep up with our demands, right?
Right. Well, Netflix offers like the instant streaming, and I use it quite a bit at my home, but I would never use it to watch, you know, The Dark Knight. It's a compromise experience, but it's very convenient. I mean, what you're talking about happened with, you know, digital music as well. But it really just doesn't, you know, and one of the big things, the problems with streaming content is the sound quality.
Yes.
All of those movies give you usually a stereo experience or a highly compressed multi-channel experience, where a Blu-ray disc delivers uncompressed, you know, 7.1 channels of discrete sound. It's a far better experience. And then, you know, they have digital downloads, where you can actually download the title, but we did this experiment once where I actually, you know, started downloading Superman Returns onto my Xbox in high definition. I then left, drove to Blockbuster, rented the Blu-ray disc, came home, watched the entire movie, and it still hadn't finished downloading it.
That seems like a waste of time and money.
Exactly. And then when I would have watched it, I would have watched it in a very compromised experience. I love streaming content. Don't get me wrong. And it is convenient. I use it to watch documentaries and a lot of other content, but I wouldn't use it as my entertainment center for watching, you know, a big Hollywood blockbuster.
How long until we get the internet that it takes?
Well, you know, some of the telephone companies, the Fios, you know, delivery companies, are able to offer much higher bandwidth. But the cable infrastructure, we're just starting to see some areas where they're, you know, allocating higher bandwidth. But even then, you know, they're going to start charging people more for using more bandwidth, just like they're starting to do with, you know, cell phone providers with high-speed bandwidth. You know,
okay.
They're going to get to the point where if you want to watch a bunch of movies in high definition and good quality, they're going to start charging you extra dollars per month, not for the movie, but for the service of having your broadband.
Okay.
So, you know, the physical disc just makes a lot more sense. I think it has years and years and years.
Can Bean watch the Blu-ray while drinking original Cherry Coke with his suspenders playing Atari?
Yes, he can.
He can do that. Okay.
Yes, he can.
All right.
Let me ask you about this, Chris. If you just joined us, Chris Walker is the Pioneer Senior Manager of Product Planning. What really got me started thinking seriously about upgrading to the Blu-ray is a couple of weeks ago, Neil Young came out with the first disc of his archives collection. Yeah. Now, this is something he's been working on for 25 years or something like that. He's going back and he's basically making the ultimate box set. And the first one is out and it's the first 10 years and it's hundreds of hours of video and concerts and interviews and pictures and songs and everything like that. And the way I heard it described, you can buy it on CD, you can buy it on DVD, and now you can also buy it on Blu-ray. And he plans to add content to that as more stuff is discovered through those years down the future. And that can be done, right? I mean, you can continue to upgrade DVDs because they're connected online somehow, right?
Yeah, Blu-ray players, in any newer Blu-ray machine is called a BD Live machine, which means it has an Ethernet connection, which allows that you can actually download and watch additional content based on the disc that's in the machine forever, basically. The studios are always adding new content to titles, even though you may have bought the disc a year ago.
That's unbelievable. I mean, this is the first time in history that that's ever happened, where something you've already purchased gets upgraded on the way, right?
Right, and they're not even charging you for that extra content. They've already got you to purchase the disc, and they're just adding additional value.
Should Bean hold on to or get rid of his 8-track tapes?
Well, depends on what he's using them for.
All right, well, you've actually answered one of my other questions, which is if I decide to go ahead and bite the bullet and go out and get that Blu-ray player this weekend, BD Live is something important that I ought to look for then.
Yeah, you know, if you're going to buy a Blu-ray player, stick with what we would call a Tier 1 brand. That would be the Sony, the LG, Samsung, Panasonic, Pioneer models. All of those companies manufacture their own machines. All their players are BD Live. All of them have, you know, great service. Some of the Tier 2 brands out there usually just buy a player from a third-party manufacturer and slap their name on it. And some of the support may not be there. But the Tier 1 brands, pretty much all of them offer a lot of services. If you're a Netflix fan, LG and Samsung offer Netflix streaming directly on the player as, you know, out of the box. If you have a Netflix account, hook it up and watch it right away. Some have wireless, some don't have wireless.
Does the BD Live cost one penny more than the other one? Because our man Bean is a little cheap.
No, that's not true. I want to get something that I'm going to stick with for a while.
Cheap bastard.
You could find a Tier 2 brand for probably, you know, $50 to $100 less
than
BD Live.
That's what he's
going. But if you walked into Best Buy, it'll be hard to find a player that doesn't have BD
Live. Bean will go to 7 stores to check prices on a CD, and he'll buy it for $7.99 instead of $8.11. That's the way he rolls.
Well, Chris, I feel better having spoken with you because it sounds like I don't have to worry about getting the Blu-ray and then 6 months from now never using it because everything's going to be streamed. It sounds like you say, we're a few years away from that. So I'm safe for this purchase then.
I definitely think so. I definitely think so. And, you know, if you haven't watched a Blu-ray, I'm sure you have a high-definition TV.
Yes.
Everything you've been watching since has been compromised, whether it's broadcast. You know, now you've got kind of a format that has, you know, almost limitless capacity, and they put every ounce of, you know, technology into making the pictures sound the best.
It is a ruiner. I mean, it really does. Once you start watching it, you go, okay, well, this isn't any good because it's not that. You know what I mean? Like, all of a sudden, you stop liking all the other stuff that you thought was so good.
Yeah.
That's true.
Curse you, Chris.
Very informative. Chris Walker, Pioneer Senior Manager of Product Planning. Thanks a lot for coming on the Kevin Beach. You've made me feel a lot better about blowing $800 this weekend.
Perfect.
All right, thanks.
All right, thanks.
You can go pick it up right after you have a barbershop quartet practice, Pete. That'd be great.
Right lane of traffic. Over-the-top fun for under $100. American Superstar tickets, all-day buffet, bottomless happy hour and C-bar, bucket of poolside brews, gourmet tacos, and drinks at Back Alley Bar, only at Stratosphere Hotel and Casino in Las Vegas. I'm Lisa May with K-Rock Traffic.
Something extremely sexual about that entire conversation.
How often has Lisa visited the Back Alley Bar? You know what I'm saying?
With her gourmet tacos.
He said the bottomless bar has tacos. Yeah. Come on.
Sure does.
All right. World
famous K-Rock at 8:56.
I love Bandini, too. That's my favorite thoroughfare in all of Southern California.
Really? Why Bandini?
Because it sounds like a magician.
I'm Bandini the Magnificent. Watch me pull a rabbit out of my pants.
Ralph Garman has joined us with our final look at the showbiz beat for a Tuesday morning. What the hell's going on?
Well, it's no surprise. I mentioned this rumor a couple weeks ago, but it looks like it's official. Hollywood Reporter today reports that Bradley Cooper will indeed take over the role of Templeton Faceman Peck in the upcoming remake of The A-Team up on the big screen. I guess it doesn't hurt that his movie The Hangover made $90 billion this weekend.
Yeah, he's a hot property all of a sudden. That's
good.
For sure.
They're going to sign him up while they get the chance. Ridley and Tony Scott are producing. They say they still have yet to cast the remaining members of The A-Team, which, of course, as you may remember, are Hannibal Smith, B.A. Baracus, and Howling Mad Murdoch. He was crazy.
Did he howl a lot?
Not so much, really. A weird name for a guy who didn't howl all that much.
Ralph, refresh my memory. Who's the guy that was lobbying hard to play Mr. T, who we all thought would be a fantastic choice for that role?
Ryan Reynolds.
There's an actor we were talking
about. Quentin Rampage Jackson.
That's who it was, yeah.
When we were talking to him, he said he didn't have the opportunity, though, because apparently it was conflicting with some fighting obligations that he had. But I think he would be a great choice. I think Kimbo Slice would be a great choice.
What
about Mr. T? He
certainly
got a unique enough hairstyle and facial hair to create a new image for B.A. Baracus. Mr. T, I think, may be a little on the older side.
Woody Allen.
For this interpretation.
How would it sound, Ralph, if Woody Allen were Mr. T's character?
I pity the fool who...
That will work.
Yeah, I don't think that'd be so good.
All right.
I like to throw my hat in the ring for B.A. Baracus, though.
You would?
Not for B.A. Baracus, for Hannibal.
You'd be awesome, Hannibal.
I mean, a great Hannibal. Just smoking a cigar all the time.
That's all you got to do. Is
wearing gloves. Love it when a plan comes together. Just got to say that once in a while. Throw that in. Boom. You're in. You're solid. Just throw them a hat in the ring. Right. In case they're listening. In case Ridley and Tony Scott are avid listeners of the Kevin and Bean Show, I'd like to put my hat in the ring.
Yeah, I'm guessing that's not going
to
happen.
Look, you. Why do you always have to crush my dreams?
I'm guessing that they don't listen, and I'm guessing they're not looking for somebody who thinks it'll be easy to not do anything.
You don't think
in that role.
For a total unknown who's not willing to work that hard?
Correct. That seems like it's not a good plan.
You don't know showbiz, man. Right. Speaking of show business, once in a while a story comes along that's so shocking, so outrageous, so unexpected, so from left field, that it catches even me by surprise. Okay. Such is the following story. On the upcoming issue of Rolling Stone magazine, American Idol's Adam Lambert says he is a homosexual.
What?
No, God! No, God, please, no! No! No!
What?
Yep. That dude from American Idol?
You can't tell.
The runner-up from American Idol, Adam Lambert, is gay.
How
about that?
Did he hide it so well? Why are you making stuff up about him just because he lost, or what's the deal here?
This is from his own mouth.
Oh.
He says, I don't think it should be a surprise for anyone to hear that I'm gay.
Yeah, it's not.
Pretty
you're right,
stupid
Adam.
If you don't know.
It's not, and Rolling Stone is acting like they've got some sort of exclusive here, and I'm just saying.
That's huge.
That train may have already sailed, as I've said in the past. That boat has left the station.
Homosexual relationships. It's unnatural.
Well,
more I don't
casting,
even know what that is.
More casting news I'm very excited about. Katie Sackhoff. You may not know the name, but if you watched Battlestar Galactica, you know that she was
one of them.
On that show.
She wasn't Apollo. She was Starbuck.
Starbuck.
That's Starbuck. Who she was. She was Starbuck, kind of the fighter power pilot.
Kind of a...
kind of like a butch, yeah, but butch, sexy yeah. sort of yes. fang going on.
Yep.
She is going to play along those lines. She was also the villain in the short-lived Bionic Woman series. She was also the other Bionic Woman that battled
that
Jamie
oh,
Summers.
Oh, yeah. I remember
show.
Her, yeah.
She is joining the cast of 24 next season.
Oh, no kidding.
Yes. She will play another analyst for the CTU. As will Freddie Prinze Jr. be joining the cast of 24.
Hmm.
Him rejoining the land of the living after being out of show business for a little while.
How about that?
Yeah. Interesting stuff.
Does Jack Bauer wake up every day and go, oh, I hope today's not one of those days? And he skates through it, and the next day wakes up and goes, oh, not today. Please don't make it be today. Because every once in a while, it turns real bad for him.
I'm giving you a zero for the day.
Oh, keyboard cat.
Playing Bean right off the show.
Playing
keyboard cat.
Keyboard cat.
I'm good. Just saying he's had some really bad days.
We know what you're saying. We know what you're saying. Michael Jackson has decided he wants to recreate some of the comforts of home when he lives in London for his big series of concerts there at the O2 Arena. He is going to be staying at the stately Foxbury Manor.
What's that?
In Chislehurst, Kent. That's where he'll be residing while he's in town for his 50 shows. And he wants to make it feel more like home, so he would like them to put an amusement park in on the grounds.
Oh, come
oh, no,
on.
No,
that
come
is on. Not true.
Absolutely
no, true.
Not true.
And he would like a bowling alley installed in the basement of the property so that he can bowl whenever the urge hits
How
him.
How often does Michael Jackson bowl?
He is a scratch bowler, my friend. I'll have
Come
you
on.
Know. Never know what scratch bowler means, but he's really good.
He couldn't carry more than a 2-pound ball.
He's got 8 perfect games.
That's not.
He does.
He's never bowled.
He bowls constantly.
You just see what he can get away with.
He's going on the PBA after he stops these concerts. He's going to be a professional
awesome.
Bowler. Yeah, it's going to be great.
That would be the best thing ever.
Seven-ten split. So it's going to be a good time at Foxbury Manor.
Wow.
I'm looking forward to it. I hope
if you guys had the chance to go see one of those Michael Jackson shows, would you?
Sure.
Absolutely. Really? To me, it seems like a train wreck.
A little piece of history, right? How often do you get a little piece of history?
Definitely
not. Musical history. Take a look at today's celebrity birthday, shall we? Actress Natalie Portman turns 28 years old today. She's the goods right there.
She is the goods.
She's got it all going on.
You haven't heard her rap from Saturday Night Live, I don't know, 3 or 4 years ago, whatever it was. You got to look for it on YouTube. It's great.
Talent, looks, sense, humor, seems remarkably grounded.
Yep. Mm-hmm. All of the above.
She's got a lot going on. 28 years old. Gloria Rubin from The Agency and ER, who, by the way, has got nothing going on. She's a loser. I'm just kidding. I have no idea. She's 45. Johnny Depp, talk about gotten it going on. 46 years old today, just got the world by the ass. How about him aging once in a while to make the rest of us feel okay about ourselves?
It would be nice.
He still looks like he's 27. He's 46. Smokes, drinks, does whatever he wants.
Yeah.
Yep.
Must be that Paradise broad. Yep. She must be the fountain of youth. You know what I'm saying? You know what I'm saying? The fountain of youth?
I believe so, yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
What are you saying?
Aaron Sorkin is 48 years old, as is Michael J. Fox. Sports commentator, legendary Dick Vitale. Vitale. He is 70 years old. And guitarist, inventor Les Paul celebrates his 94th mother effing birthday.
I would just like to congratulate Beat on going a full day without making a more Paul joke. I was expecting it every single time you said Les Paul.
And so
didn't even think about it.
I'm congratulating him.
But still, in congratulating him, you broke the seal. You opened Pandora's box.
But I didn't try to do the joke. I'm just congratulating him.
All right.
You knew he loves the cheese.
Sorry.
Oh, you're being played off, too.
I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the show as
I'm giving you a zero for the day.
Anytime.
Just gonna let it go?
No, you can go. Anytime. Just let it go. Just get out of it. It's fine.
You know, Kevin, you could get into an argument about the greatest Laker of all time. Maybe it's Kareem or Wilt or Magic or maybe even Kobe, some folks say. But you can't dispute who the greatest Laker fan of all time is. Am I right?
Penny Marshall?
Actually, Jack Nicholson is the name that I was looking at. A man who's at 99% of the Laker games and has really been showing his face and getting into the playoffs going on right now. And Jack joins us on the Kevin and Bean Cinco de la Tarde right now. Hey, Mr. Nicholson.
Well, Kevin and Bean, how are you fellas doing?
Very good. How are you?
Well, couldn't be happier, quite frankly. Going up 2-0 in the series. Mm-hmm. Feeling pretty good about tonight, if you ask me.
Now, you're not just, so clearly, if you're talking to us, you're in town, you're not traveling to Orlando, you won't be at the game tonight, but you see every single game at Staples Center, right?
Yeah, I don't do the away games so much. I just do the home games, and I've got a little setup here at the house where I can watch any game that's on television.
Oh. It's called a TV, right?
Yeah. You.
Whoa.
Yeah, it's called a TV.
Jack, take it easy.
Yeah.
So when you go, do you pal around? I mean, do you talk to the other celebrities that are there? Like, are you hanging out with Leo and Diddy and Denzel and all those guys? Or are you just strictly business? You're there for the game?
No, of course I know those guys. And I actually can use their first names as opposed to a guy on the radio who just sounds like a jackass.
Now, Jack, during game two, I don't remember what happened on the court, but you were screaming like a madman. I thought you were going to burst a vein.
Well, sometimes I feel like it's my duty to help the officials with their calling of fouls. And it seems to me as if a few had been missed that evening, and I just wanted to get my point across without sticking my foot up someone's ass.
Okay. All right. Steady, John. Steady. Were you aware that they not only showed you on the TV, but then they spoke about it for some time, analyzed it, showed you in slow motion, and debated what you had been saying?
Wait a minute.
hold on a second. Are you trying to tell me they showed me on television, Dean? Yeah. Is that what you're getting at?
That happened.
Right. What an amazing insight you have.
And then spent quite a bit of time discussing it, is what I'm saying, is you were quite the spectacle with the way you were jumping up and down during game two. That's all.
I'm just a fan. I can't control what they say about me on television. I'm just there as a fan of the Lakers. I pay my price. I take my seat. Mm-hmm. Anything people say about me is out of my control.
All right. Steady, Jack. Steady.
Look, we started this conversation by saying we're happy that the Lakers are up 2-0, right?
Absolutely.
Okay.
I couldn't be happier.
All right, good.
But I didn't say I'm happy talking to you two assholes.
Kevin, we got an interesting email from a K-Rock listener who needs our help.
I work for a company that wholesale women's sexy apparel. This homeboy called us last week looking to buy a certain mannequin that he saw on display at our store. He wants to buy the mannequin to be his wife.
Really?
Okay.
Yes.
Really? How hot is this mannequin?
It's got to be this mannequin, too.
He sent a picture of this dude.
Love.
He sent a picture of the guy.
Uh-huh.
And this mannequin does not have to be hot. This guy is... It's just scary on all levels.
Oh, God.
Oh, that's what the picture is? It's
yes.
attached? The guy who looks like the Emperor from Star Wars?
Yes.
So recall the K-Rock listener who sent us the email that tipped us off to this story. It's going to be our man, Gerardo.
Aren't you surprised he told them why he wanted it?
Oh, explain the whole thing to him, he said.
It's
weird. You know, in great detail.
Speaking.
Is this Gerardo?
Yeah, it's me.
Hey, dude, it's Kevin and Bean. How are you?
What's going on?
Gerardo, you sent us a fascinating email about the business in which you work, and somebody came in wanting to buy a mannequin to be his wife. Do we have that right?
You are 100% correct, my friend.
Okay, now, this place that you work, you sell clothing. You don't sell mannequins, right?
Well, we sell sexy apparel wholesale.
Okay.
Okay.
And we happen to have a store on Hollywood Boulevard. And this homeboy, you know, just happened to walk on by and see a mannequin.
Right. Now, is it a particularly hot mannequin?
Yeah, because they're, you know, they're luscious, you know?
Okay, all right.
What was the mannequin wearing?
It's a luscious mannequin.
Yeah, well, she's wearing one of our items that we particularly sell, and he was all about it, you know, the way the mannequin was dressed.
All right, wait, he was all about the clothing?
He was all about the mannequin and the clothing, everything. He's talking about the full details.
It's the package, you guys.
Yeah, the whole nine.
Okay. So he said, hey, I want to buy your mannequin, and what's your store policy on that if you get that request?
Well, number one, we don't even sell mannequins. We sell apparel. So we were like, okay, you psycho guy.
Right, but don't you make an exception and sell the dude the mannequin? Because doesn't it say later in your email that he invited you to his wedding?
Yeah, exactly.
At
first, we were like, okay, yeah, dude, don't call us because we don't sell mannequins. But at the same time, we're like, dude, this guy's nuts. We got to help him out.
Yes, you do.
And then,
okay. So he says to you, I want to make this mannequin my wife. What follow-up questions did you then ask him, Gerardo, for details?
Well, first, then everybody started getting involved in the whole company. We had, you know, Scott, Angelica, Estefa, the whole nine. You know, everybody was talking to everybody, leaving everybody messages.
Of course, that's the best thing that's ever happened.
Exactly. So we're trying to help this guy out, and, you know, at first we're like, no, we got to brush him off. But at the same time, it's like, no, we got to keep this going because it'd be super hilarious.
And it's true love.
Yeah, exactly.
Who are you to deny this man true love?
Exactly. So all we want to do is just help this guy's dream come true. We want to get him his mannequin love. So
okay, that's on you, though. We can't do anything about that. Just sell the guy the mannequin.
No, well, I know, but I wanted to tell you guys, maybe you could help it out. You know how the Rock of Love had that, you know, that other rocker guy trying to be in love with millions of women?
Right.
So why don't we have it like Lars and the real girl, you know, try to sell like Lars and the, or this guy would be Dwavid and the mannequin.
So then we'll get like 10 or 20 other mannequins that can compete for his love?
Oh, exactly.
I like what you're thinking.
You know, look,
if this guy is truly going to marry the mannequin, I bet we could help hook up the wedding. I bet we could find somebody who would do the ceremony
but
for
him. I'm thinking since you guys had yesterday, you know, breakfast at Green Day, maybe we'll have, you know.
Breakfast with a guy that wants to marry a mannequin?
Is he dangerous?
He's a nice, beautiful man who likes to talk to his luggage, so he's good.
All right. Hey, everybody needs to have a good conversation with their luggage every once in a while.
Yeah, you know, hey, you don't want it to get away from you. You know, you got to talk to your luggage, put it in its place.
Oh, he's the best. can we hook up another time so that we can talk to him?
Sure. Well, I'm getting like goosebumps because we're finally making this guy dream come true, you know?
All right, Gerardo. Well, thanks. You did the right thing by thinking of us and letting us know what was going on down there at the business, and we'll see what we can do to make this man's dreams come true. Okay, we appreciate you calling us.
Well, I appreciate you guys taking us up, and it really helps.
Thank you, man.
Okay.
All right,
bye-bye. All right,
bye now. Ralph is here with the Showbiz Beat. What's going on?
Well, for all you people who thought it was very funny that Bret Michaels walked into a piece of scenery at the Tony Awards on Sunday night, shame on you.
It was funny, and I'm scared.
No.
It wasn't?
No, Bret broke his nose.
Fine with that.
And split his lip.
It was one of the funniest things I've ever seen.
For those of you who haven't seen it, it's Bret, very excited after performing with Poison on stage, running back towards the band, but at the time they're lowering down a giant piece of scenery from the ceiling, and he doesn't see it coming, and he gets clotheslined. Apparently split his lip, broke his nose, and had to have a CAT scan done yesterday because his neck was screwed up.
I thought it was nothing but a good time.
Oh.
I hate you.
Oh, no. You can't play me out, keyboard cat. We just started.
Watch him. Watch the cat play.
Wow, that hurts.
Madonna's looking to adopt another African child. Since her request to adopt Mercy James was rejected, she's searching yet again throughout the African nation of Malawi, looking for a new baby. This time she thinks she'll get a girl.
Why
she would like to give an African sister to her son, David.
Why does it have to be Malawi? Because that's where she's running into trouble. They want her to stay there for 6 months, which she doesn't seem to want to do.
That's true. There's
no one does.
Just a ton of babies throughout Africa,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Go someplace that's a little more lax.
Or
go to Detroit.
No, you don't want, no,
from
Detroit.
Michigan, maybe adopt a child who needs a home there.
There's a thought.
No, couldn't happen. There's no press in that. Ozzy Osbourne doesn't know how to try on swimsuits. Apparently, the Prince of Darkness was trying on bathing suits without his underwear the other day. He was getting his darkness all over the inside of the underwear.
Oh.
Swimsuit.
Oh, yeah, the swimsuit. Yeah. And Sharon apparently yelled at him for doing so.
She should have. Usually when you're trying on swimsuits at those places, they have signs everywhere that say you must wear underwear, blah, blah, blah.
Look, her life must be like a constant kindergarten class. She's always chasing after him, trying to get him not to act like a child.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Anyway, she felt so bad. She felt so bad. She bought the three pair of swimsuits that he was already worn. And went up to the counter and paid for those.
Good for her.
Yeah.
Which is the nice thing to do. She could have thrown a tizzy.
My first thought would be to put them back and just wait all day until somebody else tries them on.
Just watch.
Yeah.
Make sure it's one of your crabby days. You're rocking your crabs, as you're wont to do, Kevin.
I don't have any idea what you're talking about.
You and your crabs.
But it would almost be worth getting crabs so that you could do that and then watch somebody else.
Travis Barker and Shanna Mokler's relationship is as hot and cold as ever. Apparently, Travis went on a Twitter rage the other night, presumably at his longtime love slash wife slash ex-wife, Shanna Mokler. Travis wrote on Twitter, "Kids are not to be used as weapons. Deadbeat moms that sleep all day seeking money and attention like to do so. Just hurts the kids in the end."
I agree with him 100%.
Yeah.
I don't know that you need to air your dirty laundry like that.
Look, we get it. You two love each other, but you don't get along. I'm sure the makeup sex is great, and then you hate each other. We get it. Enough.
I probably shouldn't admit this, Ralph, but I embarrassed myself in front of Travis the other day when he was in on the Kevin and Bean show. I went up to him and I said, "Hey, I'm really sorry to hear about your wife's cat," because she had Twittered that day that they had just put their cat down. And he had no idea what I was talking about. He's like, "Look, we're divorced. I don't have any idea what you're talking about right now." Because I just assumed it was probably his cat, too, at one point, right?
Mm-hmm.
So I felt like an ass that I just kind of assumed that they were in that kind of contact because they got the kids together. But apparently it's very frosty between the two right now.
Yeah. At least you're not following her Twitter.
Well, I like to stay current.
She's got a lot of stuff that you need to stay current.
Well, Shannon Mokler is known one of the great minds of our generation, so you can see why he hangs on her every word. Here's a way to avoid embarrassing yourself, Bean.
Yes.
Don't quote people's Twitters to anyone, ever.
He hasn't learned that yet.
Just sit in your little hovel in your weird little home on your island looking at your multiple electronic media devices and just keep it to yourself.
As an example, though, the first time I ever heard the Travis Barker 3 a.m. remix was because he posted to his Twitter. I mean, you do find
How
useful information.
How long would you had to wait in order to hear it if you hadn't seen it on Twitter, Bean?
I'm
That's
just
the question,
saying,
right? It'll happen.
I learned my lesson.
Yeah, it was out that same day.
Yeah. God,
that song was out that same
God
day.
God damn you, Frankenstein mother. God damn it.
I read on Twitter that your wife's cat died.
He said that to
her. Hi, how are you? And are we closer now?
And Bean, who doesn't really have any social skills, really kind of felt like that was going to be the bond.
That was the closer, huh?
That will not be broken between those
no,
two.
No, I was having a little sympathy for a fellow animal lover. I felt bad for him. I thought that was probably a bad thing going on, and I wanted to express my sympathy. And right. It turned out he didn't know anything about it, so I was the ass.
Yeah.
Well, Travis continued his rampage with more accusations by tweeting things like, giving birth doesn't make you a good mom.
Oh!
Booyaka.
Also true.
Told her.
Shazam.
So, things are not going well. Today's celebrity birthdays, Natalie Portman's 28 years old today.
Bean, why do you follow Shannon Mokler's tweet? What does she have to say that you
hey,
already follow
Kevin,
Travis?
He may miss a very important piece of information about Shannon Mokler.
What information does she put out that you need?
Need shoes. Need more shoes today.
Occasionally, there is something interesting.
Today's celebrity birth. Oh, I did. I started that already, didn't I?
Yeah, sorry. Yeah. I interrupted.
I think someone hit me with some sort of blow dart.
Really?
I'm feeling a little groggy. I'm going down.
Oh!
What did I get the gun?
Of course.
I need that,
of course.
Too. Johnny Depp's 46 years old. Aaron Sorkin's 48. Michael J. Fox is also 48. You know, when he goes to blow out his birthday cake?
Yeah.
He just has to hold it. Doesn't he have to blow?
Oh.
Yay!
He shakes back and forth. The cameras go out.
You're an asshole.
See what I'm saying?
I don't like saying anything bad about anybody.
And guitarist inventor Les Paul is 94 years old today. His brother, More Paul, is... also celebrating a birthday.
They have the same birthday?
Yeah. Isn't that odd?
Wow.
I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.